This is Eric Bischoff, and you're listening to WTR.
This is Chris Vianney, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
Iron Vitus. Good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me,
Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Hold your eyes, your light, and make it two, three fields. Dreams you've never lived in, scars never healed. In the darkness, light will take you to the other side. Find me waiting there, you'll see if you just close your
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, yes, it's not a pay-per-view night, so we're starting 1 hour earlier, and I swear that's not to avoid the Final Four. And he's applauding. And there's a rattlesnake in the room. I apologize for that. But for everyone who's in the WTR attendance betting pool, if you had Spug and Will as absent for the opening, you've just won. So that is, of course, I am here, the be-all, end-all of the WTR network, the Omega. I am joined by Mace, of course.
Yes, I had to club my stepfather over the head and steal an internet connection to do this show, and Spug and Will still didn't show.
Good man.
They don't have any dedication.
Make sure he stays out for the whole 2.5 hours. And, of course, leading this merry band of misfits, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to WTR Sunday Night. Hang on, everybody. I feel so much better now. Relieving. Don't you think, Omega?
Fuck you. Fuck you, Canuck.
That just really sucks. We're sorry. All I can tell you, Omega, tie a knot in it. before we went
At
live.
At least I've got the length to do it.
Oh, yeah, right. Hey, listen, here's a hint, or here's a tip, rather. Next time you do TJTV, try slicking your hair back and putting it in a ponytail, and then video your face from the left side. Not from the right side, okay?
Okay.
And he's like, why? Trust me, I'm just trying to help you out. And you know, you wear those sunglasses, but it just doesn't quite cut it. Try the slick back ponytail, and then, you know, the left side of your face is the better. That's your best side. Okay.
Oh boy.
Got it?
Yeah.
So give that a shot and see what happens.
I've only got 3,200 fans on YouTube. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I'm not saying that you don't know what you're doing, and, you know, that just shows that there are at least 3,200 people out there with no wives who are obviously into jerking off over Transformers. So, good for you.
Makes me add revenue. I don't care what they do.
There you go. Well, as long as you get your $100 every 6 months from Google, that's all that matters. Everybody, good evening and welcome officially to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, you heard the Omega bringing everybody on board. We're wondering where the hell Spug is. He's married, So, one of two things, I suppose. I don't know. We're expecting Will to call in later on, into the show. And, of course, yeah, the toilet flush that we heard was actually a setup courtesy of, the producer tonight, Sir Rockin'. Poor Omega, made mention that he had to, use the can and was hoping that it would be freed up before the show started, but no such luck. So, whatever you do, don't turn on any water faucets or anything like that. If it's running outside, keep the window closed so he doesn't hear the sound of water.
I'm trying not to imagine it. Shut up.
Okay. I'll just be quiet now. Yeah. So, hey, tonight we got a few things that we're going to talk about, including Ezekiel Jackson, TNA moving time slots, Triple H and his neck injury. And then we've got a nice big old segment to debate discussion that we're going to get into about gimmick matches in professional wrestling. Then we're going to take a quick preview at the matches available for, you know, to preview for TNA Lockdown, and we're also going to talk about TNA and their setting up their pay-per-view matches. And then, of course, we've got Quick Hits tonight. Also, a brand new WTR Tributes video that will show for our first break this evening. That being said, why don't we just get right into the news talk? Start off with TNA moving time slots, as faithfully stated by yours truly. That's right, the one and the only big mouth, Mr. Ego Check. TNA is moving to 8 o'clock Eastern from 9 o'clock Eastern, so they have that 1 hour lead-in jump on Raw, as it were. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Am I just really full of myself? Mace.
They moved time slots. They're still on 10:30 Saturday nights over here.
Well, we're talking to North America, so apparently
you're in
you
Australia.
Don't...
You don't. Yeah.
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 I'm in
Australia. I don't give a shit.
I don't give a fuck. I watch at the same time I have a time with me Foster's beer. So fuck off.
Get fucked.
What? That was a. Oh come on! You have to admit that was probably the best fake Aussie accent I've ever done on this show.
It's one of your better attempts.
Watch it, yeah, watch it with those stereotypes, Tim. He'll come at you with a boomerang.
Well, yeah, it's stereotype, definitely. I'll be the first non-Aussie to tell you that Foster's beer is an overrated pile of pee water, and Mace will probably be the first Aussie on the show tonight to agree with me.
That is true. And Omega, see? You try and say I'll send a boomerang, I'm going to send you a lot more Mortal Kombat stuff.
I'm in enough pain. Don't do that, please.
Hey, I had a boomerang.
Conquest, motherfucker.
I had a boomerang when I was growing up, brought back to me direct from Australia. I thought it was the coolest thing ever until it almost decapitated me.
Yeah, throwing it and watching it turn around is cool. Then you realize you have to catch the damn thing.
Oh, shit, you got to catch it. You know, and I realized that just as it's about to hit me right in the throat. And so I put my hand up and I cut my hand severely. And you know, I didn't know those things were as sharp as they were, Mace.
Well, no, don't throw them. Don't have them.
Ah, okay. Well, this was just a tiny one, so. But anyway, getting back to some wrestling talk. TNA moving times to 8 o'clock Eastern on Spike TV to basically get that 1 hour jump start on WWE's Raw on USA Network. What do you think about that, Omega?
I think a pretty effective move. I mean, that's how it worked for WCW, and it kept their audience up, and it worked for TNA. Their audience was up 50% from last week.
Well, yeah, when you stop and think about it, 0.5 to 0.9, is that a huge jump? Is that a big deal? What?
Well, anytime you can say I nearly double my audience, yeah, that's a big deal. Any increase is a big deal, and especially when it's proven that, hey, you know, it's the lead-in that really wins you your audience.
Yeah, well, this is true. Will joining us now, the late Will McConnell, as it were. How you doing this evening, Will?
Yeah.
Well, glad to hear that you're in as good as spirits as ever, I guess it was. Yeah. TNA's moved to 8 o'clock Eastern time on Spike. Your opinion?
Maybe they won't get slotted in the ratings so terribly.
Well, there you go, yeah. Now, here's the thing. Mace, Omega, Will, they started an hour earlier last Monday. It was a live show. And they're hoping to attract viewers and retain viewers and all this other wonderful stuff. Wasn't last Monday's show a bit of a dog for doing this?
It wasn't one of their better shows.
It was definitely not one of the better shows. It felt kind of mailed in, which is really weird. You would think that they would give us a show like last week, the previous week, the week before, the night Shawn Michaels gave his retirement speech on Raw, and then the show that they had on that night, they would have given us tonight. Wouldn't that have made more sense, don't you think?
It's almost backwards logic, you know. They feel like the whole attitude has been, well, we're going head-to-head with them, you know, we're going blow for blow. So it's like, when WWE has a phone-in night of sorts, and let's face it, the hosts of I lost a train of thought there for a second. But it almost feels like when WWE puts on something really big, they feel like they have to put on something big to go against it, instead of waiting for WWE to have a weak episode and then putting on something more worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they want this head-to-head thing to override any kind of actual strategy that they should be having instead.
Interesting. Your take, Mace.
Let's put down the shitty booking on both sides, to be honest.
Okay.
Hell, you had David Otunga hosting Raw and Eric Bischoff missing off TNA.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like both shows are fucked.
Interesting point. Will! While you're eating.
I am eating.
But didn't mean to interrupt your, what is it, pork chops? You're eating the other white meat?
Actually, yeah.
You're kidding.
Pork chops and homemade macaroni and cheese with bacon in it.
No applesauce?
No.
Pork chops and applesauce. Huh, okay, well, enjoy your pork chops. Make sure that they're fully cooked so you don't get trichinosis. But, yeah, your thoughts about last week's TNA program?
I can't even remember it, truth be told.
Really?
I really don't remember what happened.
It was that good. Usually, you've got a string of things to say about the last episode of TNA's Impact that we watched. If it failed to make an impression on you, it really must not have been very noteworthy.
I watched it 48 hours ago. I can't even remember it properly.
Mm.
Oh, thanks to Rock for remembering me. Yeah, the lockboxes. Wow, I can't remember any of that.
The best thing in it was the ladder match, which basically took place right at the top of the hour, just as Raw was going on the air. The highest-rated segment of the night were the knockouts in the main event, the overrun, with the stupid fucking retarded lockboxes. What the hell was that about?
We have the possibility.
Daphne really do a strip tease.
Yeah. What Will said.
Well, yeah, I think that Daphne having to do a strip tease was definitely going to be a non-opener, as it were.
They followed up with Lacey Von Erich. As long as you look at her from the neck down, she's all right.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of people say that they can't stand looking at Lacey Von Erich's face because they're reminded too much of her dad. And, you know, like, that's very similar to Brooke Hogan, right? Good looking from the neck down if you're really, really hard up and horny. Drape a flag on her face and do her for your country. Would you say that was a fair assessment?
I'd still say throw her in a bin with Lita. Both fucking herpes.
No. No.
Now, hold, Hold on a second.
No throwing her into a bin with Lita. Hazardous waste materials are only so big.
Yeah, wait a second, Omega. Hang on. What has Lacey Von Erich done to deserve the same type of herpes and STD comments that Lita's earned? And let's face it, Lita's earned it.
You just have to take one look at Lacey. She is basically her father with tits. She is riding on the family name with no skills whatsoever in the ring, and she's getting booked for it.
Yeah, well, Lita got her reputation by riding other things, so I don't validate that.
Also, such as Edge when, yeah, such as Edge when Matt's out of town. No? Nothing? Anybody?
They just stopped dead. Someone was making a point before that bad joke.
I apologize. Who was making the point before the bad joke?
I thought it was Mace, but he's gone quiet.
Well, it's set my pace. Go for it. Oh, okay. Joke away. Whatever. I just don't like the fact that she's getting a position in a company just because she has the... using the name Von Erich.
Now, well, Mace, saying that, aren't there a lot of second or third generation wrestlers in either promotion who are trading on the name or who have traded on the name before their training was in place and complete?
Hi, Teddy.
No, Teddy's trading on the name, but his training was in place and complete. The only problem is he knew about it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mace, what do you think?
You look at the rest, like, your main, like, guys who have been in the spotlight, you know, you got Randy Orton, you got the, Ted DiBiase Jr., Cody Rhodes, you know, they can actually wrestle. It wouldn't have mattered if they had the last names that they have in the business. They still would have been able to get in on their own skills. Lacey,
yep.
Not a fucking chance.
Interesting point. So do you think Lacey might be trainable to actually be passable in the ring as even a mid-card type knockout? Will?
I don't know. We saw Candice Michelle actually start to go somewhere before Beth Phoenix broke her shoulders in half.
Yeah, you got a point there. Omega?
No, I think you can train just about anyone, especially in a women's division, to work to mid-card. The trick is, does TNA actually want to have standards high enough to allow that or not? Which I'm still not convinced of the women's division under the Hogan regime.
Mace, any final word on this one before we move along a little bit?
In regards to the actual lockbox match, what
yeah.
the fuck was that bullshit with Tara? Seriously, tug of war over the belt with Angelina Love when we all know that since she's been training MMA, she could have turned around and just one punch knocked that bitch's teeth out.
Yeah, this is true. But, you know, you bring that up. What the fuck is it losing the belt without even being in an actual match for it? Congratulations, you got your spider back, but you forfeit your title. Fuck you, Jeremy Borash. I know you're just the messenger, but still.
Didn't we have that in WCW one time?
I don't remember. I'm sure it's highly possible.
Yeah, they had
four boxes
really...
in a corner. One had a coal miner glove.
That's,
one had belts.
Steiner had that match. I hated that match.
Not a good match at all.
No, this
yeah,
is
the
still
only
the
thing,
best idea I've ever seen.
The only thing really missing here was to put the boxes or the keys on poles, because this match just screams, hey, late WCW. And if
well,
we all remember late WCW, if there's one thing Vince Russo loved more than terrible storylines, it was things on poles.
Judy Bagwell on a pole match? Anybody?
It would have been all right if she was actually on a pole, but instead she had to be lifted up by a fucking forklift.
Well, you know, WWE has done similar things. Don't you remember Dominic on a pole match?
I wish they would have hung his stringy little ass from the top of the where they hang the belts.
That really would have made it a little bit more interesting.
By his underwear, that would be funny.
By his underwear. Oh shit! That just reminded me of something. Yeah, that just reminded me of something that Ravenous Randy did in the old Stampede Wrestling to Young Lion Alex Plexus. You would have appreciated it too, just with that comments. He's fighting in some kind of a triple threat match, and at one point in the match, he actually hung Alex Plexus off the wrestling ring by his underwear.
Ouch.
It was the ultimate atomic wedgie.
Of course, and Alex, guy in the back would be pissing himself laughing.
Oh, we were. Alex, poor Alex, you know, good sport that he was. He stayed there, hanging, literally hanging, and he let his underwear support him. Must have been reinforced briefs or something like that, but he was up there for a good 12 minutes. I swear to God, it had to have been 12 minutes. And he wasn't just like, you know, okay, his underwear's, he's got the atomic wedgie, and his underpants are around the pole. He's actually, like, letting himself hang off the side of the pole, and he's kicking his legs, and he's doing the running in midair stuff like that. So, you know, hanging him from your underwear is technically a possibility, but like I said, you have to be as skinny as Alex Plexus or have reinforced granny panties, I think. I'm just saying.
Vicky Guerrero's underpants.
Yeah, so, you know, you could do it with Vicky Guerrero's underpants. You just couldn't do it with Vicky Guerrero in them. Because I don't think you could reinforce them that, you know, enough.
Jeez, I think you could hold the event in her underpants.
Okay, I think we need to change the subject really quickly because...
Please
all of a sudden,
do.
We're talking about events and Vicky's underpants. Think about it.
No, I refuse.
You have to. You have no choice but to think about it. You know why? You're the one who brought it up, motherfucker.
I'm the one who brought it up. But I'm not going in that direction with it.
Okay, well, here's the thing. The next time you plan on bringing something like that up, you have to, you know, visualize it before you say anything.
Okay. Oh, come on. I'd go into seizures before I could speak.
Well, there you go. See, this will be some kind of inner censor for you. Because let's face it, every now and then, you kind of throw things out there that people really don't want to have to visualize. Vicky's events in her pants is one...
Can we please move on?
You realize
that if we sort of put that in a censor idea on Spug, we'd never hear from him ever again?
You know, Mace, you might have an idea there. Should we have Spug... self-censor himself. Everybody in the chat room, type in yes or no. What do you think? Is that a good idea or not? Panel, guys, what do you think? Is that a good idea? Should we tell Spug he's got to censor himself?
No. He tell his own censor to fuck off.
You got a point. I just hear the conversation he'd have in his head over that one. You can't say that. Fuck you! I'll say anything I want! I'm Spug! You know?
Who the fuck are you to tell me what to do? I'm you!
I don't give a fuck. You listen to me. No, you listen to me. No, you listen to me. Oh, my head, it hurts. Bye, guys. Gonna go fuck my wife. You know, there's Spug. Basically, in a nutshell.
See, now he doesn't have to show up.
Yeah, tell me I'm wrong, but that's pretty much Spug on a Sunday night.
There you go.
Yeah. Bitch, 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 blah, blah, blah. Talk too much. See you guys. I'm gonna go fuck my wife.
You forgot Taint.
I keep forgetting how much wrestling talk gets that boy horny. It's scary.
Ugh.
Wasn't his child conceived to a wrestling show?
His child, Madison, was conceived during an episode of Wrestling News Live. Now, the big question that is still out there and hasn't been answered, who was turned on by whom? Did the voice of the Trey Dog get his wife all sopping wet and she had to, like, okay, that's it, there it is right here and now, baby, because Trey's talking? Or was it Spud thinking, man, he sounds good on the air. Schwing! Honey, come here!
Like, really? You know? No offense to Trey, but who could get turned on to the voice of a redneck Matt Hardy?
Yeah, you'd be shocked.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised to sell. There are, yeah. You know, the Trey Dogs, you know, he's got some of the most loyal Dog Pound members on the internet there. And don't forget WNL's granddaddy of all of these internet wrestling-based webcasts. And if it wasn't for the Trey Dog, there's a very good chance that Wrestle Talk Radio probably never would have sprung into existence.
So does he get plenty of pound puppies from Wrestling News Live?
I'm pretty sure if he wanted, he could have all the pound puppies he could handle. Just saying. So before we move on, TNA moving time slots. At the end of the day, they're not going to change the days. They're sticking around. They're going to be on Monday. Eric Bischoff given it a thought by a fan who posted on his Facebook. Why not call it Monday Night Impact? Do you think that we're going to see that starting tomorrow night? Monday Night Impact on Spike.
They don't call it that already.
Let's hope no.
So, you know, because you have Monday, you have the Monday Night Wars, you had Monday Night Raw, you had Monday Nitro. Now you've got Monday Night Impact.
I mean, just aside from being an even more blatant WCW ripoff, not that everything TNA does isn't a blatant WCW ripoff, that just sounds bad. I don't like how that rolls.
Major contender decisions happening on a show no one else gets.
There you go. Yeah. So, them actually starting an hour earlier, we can all agree that's probably the best thing that they could have done at this point in time, seeing as they're not going to leave Monday nights. Maeve?
Okay, they still show on a Saturday night over here.
All right. Note to self, don't ask Ozzy about days and times. Omega.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. That is the smartest thing they probably could have done.
Will? How's the pork chops?
I'm on the mac and cheese now.
Oh, okay.
Pork chops are fantastic.
Do you eat, are you one of those people that like eats the one portion completely and then moves to the next portion?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of neurotic, don't you think?
Tim, if you knew me in real life, you'd know that's the least neurotic thing I've ever done.
You know, in the short amount of time that I've known you overall, you're probably right with everything else that I found out about you. That probably is the least neurotic thing.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's okay. I shouldn't make fun of your eating habits because that's what I do. I mean, I stick with the chicken legs, then I move on to the drumsticks, and then I move on to the thighs. You know, wait a second, legs, drumsticks, what the fuck's the difference? Never mind. I know what I need. Hang on. I need some thinking juice. Ah, there we go. Mmm. Ooh, that's good. Nice and ice cold. Anyway, eating habits seem to be more important than talking about last Monday night's TNA. Let's face it, the program sucked. Hopefully tomorrow is a better show and serves to draw in a bit of an audience. Now, as far as that goes, I don't think that TNA is convinced that they're trying to steal WWE's audience or they're directly competing with WWE. Let's face it, both companies are saying that they're different types of programming. Would you agree with that statement, Mace?
Sorry, I zoned out for a second. What did you say?
I don't remember. I wasn't listening either.
Awesome.
Mm. Omega?
So far, see, I wouldn't even say that. If TNA was a little bit more willing to take advantage of their non-PG material that they have now limited themselves to, then maybe. Maybe I would call them different programmings. But right now, how can I put this? Same plate, slightly different flavor. Yeah, I'm not getting a whole lot of difference from TNA right now.
Hmm. Okay. Well.
Oh, what?
Oh no. Mace played that card. You can't do it.
No, seriously. I really wasn't paying attention. Just ask it again, and I'll give you an answer.
Right, TNA, WWE. Yeah, TNA, WWE, both saying that they're not competing with each other directly. Both are saying they're different types of programming, different types of fans, different types of audiences. Yes or no?
They're both full of shit. The only reason they jumped to Mondays was to compete with the WWE. If they weren't, they'd have gone live on Thursdays to go get a crowd they can rely on over there. The only audience difference TNA has different from the WWE are those rabid, I don't even know what to call them, those rabid people they have in the Impact Zone. That's the only difference they have between WWE fans and TNA fans. Other than that, the people watching at home are the people that are going to go, what's on this channel? Oh, it's TNA, fuck that. Oh, it's WWE. They're just going to watch wrestling for the, well, not, can't really say for the wrestling anymore, but they're going to watch it because it's wrestling. And they're going to see, which one do I want to watch? Do I want to watch the one that's going to entertain me? Or do I want to watch the convoluted one with lock boxes and things on poles?
There's a joke in there somewhere, I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely positive.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the different types of shows, different types of audiences, but then again, I've watched Wrestlicious, which they claim is a comedy action show and has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling.
I think Tim's just surprised he got an answer that long out of someone who wasn't really paying attention.
Well, you know, once it was explained to you. Right? Kind of helped out, you think? Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anyways, you were saying something?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't listening. Anyway. Yeah. Mace, Will has a very salient point. TNA moved to Monday nights to directly compete with WWE's Raw. But in all seriousness, is the type of audience that they're going to get really that much difference from the type of audience that WWE currently enjoys with Raw?
The answer to that would be, they're all fucking wrestling fans! It doesn't matter if they're loving WWE sports entertainment pseudo-drama bullshit, or whether they like Wrestlicious absolutely horrible, terrible jokes with canned laugh tracks, or TNA's convoluted storylines with lockboxes, poles, and I think a over-steroided global champion that's trying to become the new WCW TV champion. It's all the same shit, people. It's all wrestling. It's all bullshit.
You figure that there's no real difference despite the fact that TNA calls their fans cast members and WWE is often its own little universe?
They're still fucking wrestling fans. At the end of the day, we are there to watch wrestling. They are there to watch wrestling. What's the word in common in those phrases? Fucking wrestling!
Wrestling. Okay. So, with what Mace has just said, Omega, WWE's PG-13 era that they've stepped into, as of now, with the, you know, the no blood, the no, you know, banning chair shots to the head, making it maybe a little bit more cartoonish than TNA, who is giving the wrestling fan the bleeding, the chair shots to the head, the slightly more hardcore violence, the TNA in TNA. Do you see any difference in the type of viewership?
Well, slight type, especially when you consider you've got a lot of people trickling in from or for Ultimate Fighter as well. You've got a lot of MMA fans that flock to Spike TV too. But, what?
No, go ahead.
I can even remember my point now.
Oops.
yeah, that happens. Here's the thing though, WWE is not more cartoonish. I mean, look at everyone that's come down the pipe these days. I mean, if it's a goofy gimmick, it's been killed, or the guy, or the whoever's been playing it was fired. And everyone has very realistic names, and they're very normal guys, and you know, their gimmick doesn't go beyond, hey, I've got a star shaved into my head. And that's pretty much as far as a lot of these things go these days. TNA, despite being the bloodier show, despite having the more intense, you know, ring action, despite still doing the hardcore stuff, you've still got guys like, you know, Jay Lethal still doing the Macho Man gimmick. You've still got Suicide. You've still got, well, he's still on the payroll, so I'll count Shark Boy in that, too. You've got a lot more of a cartoony roster over there, where they're having blood and cage matches.
Wait, what? Shark Boy wasn't Futured Endeavor?
Not that I remember. He's still on the roster.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, no, he's still getting paid. Whether or not he has a job, that's potentially two different things. He might be collecting a paycheck just to sit on his ass at home. Or, we currently have nothing for you, but we're working on it. So, be patient. By the way, here's your $50.
At which point, they should be going, hey, look, Christopher Daniels had a good idea. I'm going to follow him.
There you go. Yeah. Shark Boy going to Ring of Honor and leaving Impact, leaving TNA. Not such a bad idea at this point in town.
Mm-mm.
Just saying.
The rats are leaving the ship. It's going down.
Yeah, there we go. So, good luck to TNA with their moving to an earlier time slot. Here's hoping that they figure out what the hell to do properly, get rid of the lame-ass bullshit. If the knockouts are the highest-rated segment on Impact, let's see them move around the time slot between 8 and 10 Eastern and try to vary it up, you know, switch it up a little bit. Good idea?
Yeah, probably.
Now, before we move on, just one last little tidbit about this, and we can all have our own little quick say about it. Last Monday night, TNA's fans, as they were filing in, were warned that the show was going to be somewhat less than family friendly, and there might be some TNA happening, and TNA, you know, referring to the striptease at the end of the show. What do you think?
Smart call. They advise people up front there is going to be something that's not going to be family friendly. You now have a choice. You can either come in and watch the show, or you can turn around and get your money back and fuck off.
Assuming anyone's paying to get in right now.
Yeah, there you go. That's an important thing.
They even have the WCW model of letting people in for free. It's wondrous.
Yeah, that being said, you know, letting people in for free, have they basically peppered the audience with plants yet, Mace?
No, because they seem to put themselves in the arena. You just take a look at... It's usually front row, hard camera side, and I think it's two or three rows in the upper balcony that always have the same type of group together that always sings along, that gets the chants going, the more dressed up fans, and for some reason the Bubba fucking army.
Oh God, Bubba. Oh
God.
Can we do something to bar him from the Impact Zone for life?
Besides actually shooting Hogan in the head, there's not much we can do about it.
Yeesh. Is it sad that Bubba Dudley has fewer fans in the Impact Zone than Bubba the Love Sponge?
That's pretty fucking sad.
Yeah.
It's also sad that he can't even use the name Bubba.
Oh, jeez.
That's retarded.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to retarded. Anyway, moving on in more professional wrestling news. Guys, Ezekiel Jackson got injured in Europe.
Boo-hoo.
Yay. ECW champion got injured.
Wow. Yeah. Wasn't that a great decision, WWE? Here, let's not go out with a happy ending with a show that we basically destroyed the entire past with. No, instead of giving the champion, who people like, a good, happy ending, we're going to put it on this monster. We're going to push. By the way, he's not been on TV since, and now he's injured. That was such a great idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, so reports are that it's a fucked up quadricep muscle. You know, the one that Triple H had twice. Vince McMahon blew both out running down to the ring. Estimated time for rehab could be approximately 10 months from now. Is WWE going to miss Ezekiel Jackson?
Fuck no.
I guarantee you within anywhere from 3 to 6 months, it's going to be goodbye, future endeavored.
Well, it sucks that you get fired while you're injured. They should let him be all nice and rehabbed and able to work again before he gets future endeavored, don't you think? So he can actually, you know, sit out for another 90 days before he goes to TNA or Ring of Honor.
Matt Hardy didn't get that same luxury. Why should this sack of shit get it?
Yeah, good point in the production chat by Rock and Sock. It doesn't look like he's going to get a YouTube promo hyping his return.
No, he might get a beautiful day for announcing him leaving.
It's a beautiful day. I'm sorry, I'm not a big fan of Bono. He sounds like he whines when he sings.
Yeah, good call on Vince's part. Let's leave the ECW championship on a guy. Oh, hey, crap, he's injured.
There you go. Yeah. So Ezekiel,
wait and release him. Let him go to the TNA. He can walk in with the old ECW belt and go, "Hey, I'm an old ECW champion." You watch Taz get up, put him in the Taz mission, and then you have Rhino come out and fucking butt rape him from behind, going, "I'm the real champ, bitch."
And then you have Rhino. Yeah, you know, Rhino has to pull Ezekiel aside. Say, here, see this trash can? Yeah, I burned a fake championship belt in there a few years back. Now you have to do it. Part of the ECW champion rule here.
I think they should have to burn it just out of fucking standard.
Like a flag?
Have you seen... I mean, yeah, that belt's design kind of grew on me, but it's still a pretty goddamn ugly-looking belt. The leather's all messed up. It has no real smooth folding on it. You fucking look at when Christian would hold it, the strap is huge, and it's crooked in places, and it's like, you know what, just burn that belt out of principle.
And then have Tommy Dreamer come out of the audience with a Singapore cane.
And pin him?
Go right upside his head with the cane, man.
Yeah, upside his head, pin him, go, yes, I'm the last ECW champion.
This is what the real ECW was, bitch! And then show him what it was. Just saying.
At least Christian and Dreamer could put on good matches together. Fucking, God, you know, it still irritates me they did that with the end of ECW, putting it on fucking Jackson.
Good point. There you go. So, Ezekiel, have fun sitting on your ass for 10 months. And good luck to your future endeavors. Staying with the injury fronts, we've got a couple of more injuries to talk about. Kurt Angle talking about taking time off after his lockdown match with Mr. Anderson. Apparently he's a little bit beat up, even though he posted on his Twitter a denial after his initial Twitter post saying that he's going to take time off to heal up. Is it a smart idea for Kurt to just sit back and relax for a little while?
Yeah.
I'd say yes, as long as he goes to hospital and gets checked out, because the last two guys who had a decent feud with Mr. Anderson ended up in graves.
Oh!
Wow, really?
Go look at the records. It's actually true.
I know.
Wow.
I wasn't doing that to be mean, but that's truth.
My God.
And that's the truth.
It's true. It's damn true. You know, he's right, you know.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
still.
People want to call Stacy Keibler the kiss of death.
Ooh. Well, let's face it. Has Ken Kennedy Anderson ever had any kind of a major feud with anybody where he didn't get his ass hurt or hurt somebody else?
Nope.
Oh.
Do you guys not remember the ladder match last Monday night? Kurt took a bump, goes out of the ring, smacks the back of his neck awkwardly, and you can tell.
That was nasty.
Oh, I thought he died.
Yeah, you could tell that was not a setup or anything like that. That was like, oops, we fucked up.
Yeah, and you could tell he was trying to crotch himself on the rope and completely missed.
Yeah, but that's more towards I mean, it's not completely Angle's fault. It's hard to fucking maneuver off a ladder, I imagine, but that has nothing to do with Anderson.
No, come on, that's Kurt Angle.
He won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
Well, see, what was I thought was awesome was after he took the bump, he got up and said, "Watch this flying dropkick."
Everybody be quiet. I may have something to say.
No, he's up on the ladder. It's kind of Kurt's responsibility at that point because he has to know when to leap off of the ladder in order to hit the ropes just right. And obviously, he decided to jump a little too late. Hooked his leg and basically slingshotted himself into the floor.
Yeah, pretty much. Looked very kind of painful, and the fact of the matter is, it was Ken Anderson he was wrestling when this nasty, nasty bump took place. So, it looks like Ken Anderson, whether directly or indirectly, might be attributed to another potential injury.
Well,
in the form of Kurt Angle's neck.
Well, two things. First, on the matter of Anderson, we are plagued with too many terrible things happening to wrestlers as it is to start making, oh look, he's got a curse on him that he hurts, starts killing people when he wrestles. And two, in regards to Kurt, it's probably best he takes some time off because when he got fired from WWE, they were like, we're doing it because you're going to end up killing yourself in the ring. And he got TNA, he got the lighter schedule. Right before he got fired from WWE, that man was looking purple. TNA, he's looking a lot better, but...
skinnier, smaller.
Yeah. But
I'll tell you this, Will.
He looks healthier, even if he's skinnier and smaller, he looks healthier. And, you know, a guy with a neck like him, yeah, just take a few months off or, you know, just rest up because it'll be the best for you in the long run.
Go ahead, Mace.
I'll tell you this, Will, and you will probably find this out if you go through with the training sessions and actually get yourself in the ring. It's hard to get yourself to walk away from the business in any way. You could be on the verge of snapping both knees, have them shoot out like fucking missiles, have your neck separate in several places, you know, lose a lung, a heart, one of your balls, you know. You will still get in that ring and wrestle.
Once you get in there
and you start getting in and you've, you know, get the electricity of the crowd and shit, it is impossible to get yourself away from it. It's like telling a drug addict to fucking quit. A lot of times they ain't going to do it because it still feels so good.
Well, we've seen how many guys are just beat up and hurt, and then they're still going out there just because it's what they enjoy. I mean, a few lucky ones have been like The Rock and Stone Cold who were able to say, you know, either I don't want to get hurt or I'm too hurt, I need to walk away from this. Instead, you got guys like Hogan who, whether he needs the money or not, the fact is he still wants to get in that ring, and just the reports from him after his fucking gush fest with Flair on the Impact a few weeks ago, he was like, oh man, I feel like I'm going to die. You know, that's someone who needs to stop wrestling, period, and he can't.
Yeah, I get that same feeling if I see Terry Funk showing up anyplace.
Yeah, really.
The man is held together with duct tape and bubble gum, but he still gets in the ring.
I thought that was Sabu.
No, Sabu is super glue.
I thought Sabu was spit and baling wire.
I thought it was athletic tape. Oh, what's that? Tore my bicep open? Give me that tape.
No, Sabu has so much scar tissue, I don't think you can get through his skin anymore.
Scar tissue, wonderful stuff. Well, before we move on, I just want to take this time out to say hello and thank you for joining us to Jersey Girl, Lucky Star 2010, Miss Destiny, Necrosanji, I think you pronounced that, Nick AG, I don't know who that is, Punk Rock Kid, Ren McKelp 91, Swax 1, Tony O, and of course a special hello to Scott OWW, one of the producers of OWW Radio, Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now when I call him a producer, I don't mean he's one of the guys that sits at the boards and makes sure that the commercials play on time and the breaks are all done carefully and all of the phone numbers are dialed. No, he's the guy that actually sits down and tells Nick what Nick's going to do on OWW Radio, only to hear Nick do his own goddamn thing all the time because, well, he's Nick, damn it. And that's just what he does. But,
I've got to say this just quickly. Scott, you're free to call in tonight. Spug isn't here to rip into you. It's all good.
Hey, you're free to call in anytime, Scott. That's, you know, that's all there is to it. But, Scott does a really good job, doing what he does for OWW Radio. And if it weren't for Scott and Corey and a couple of other guys I'm not going to bother mentioning because they know who they are, OWW Radio wouldn't be as good as it is. And guys, you know, like Nick Anthony, hate Nick Anthony, it's your choice. Don't think that you don't have an opinion just because he's highly opinionated and he tells you how it is in his own way that you should avoid listening to OWW Radio. Hey, most of the shows are live produced by yours truly, and if I can't do it, then Sir Rockin's doing it, and they're doing some great live interviews lately. So this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, check them out for another edition. And I just want to get that plug out of the way real quick.
What if it was wrong of me to say, "Oh, too late"?
Oh, too late
about listening to OWW.
Yeah, that would be wrong, so don't say it. Oh, no. Too late.
Ba-dum-ching.
Ba-dum-boom. All right, right before we get to the newest WTR tribute video, we'll talk a little bit about Triple H has a possible neck injury.
Oh.
Now, a lot of people, here's the thing. A lot of people are yapping about WWE hot-shotting all of the young guys, trying to elevate them. Maybe it's too quick. Maybe it's the wrong guys. Maybe it's not time. You stop and you think about it. A heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels, is retired. Undertaker's going to be taking some time off. Triple H is probably going to be buggering off for a little while because of the buggered-up neck. They're losing their main eventers. They're losing their big stars. They need to do something. They
it's
have
okay, they've
get...
got Cena. He can cover everybody's spot. It's okay.
Well, there you go.
What? Cena versus Cena?
Hey, I would pay the pay-per-view rate to see him beat the shit out of himself for 20 minutes.
That would be kind of cool. Didn't we see Stevie Richards in one of those matches? So, you know, you got to go out there and wrestle. He pinned himself.
Did we? I try to forget Stevie Ray matches.
What? What?
Stevie Richards, not Stevie Ray.
Stevie Richards. Okay, yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, Omega, we're going to have problems.
Sorry.
Yeah, didn't he do that like once in the original ECW and then once in WWE?
Probably. That actually.
Are you sure it wasn't
like
Al Snow wrestling Ted?
Oh, yeah, Al Snow did have a wrestling match by himself in WWE. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I also seen this one real good match on YouTube where a guy wrestled an invisible opponent.
Yes.
Now, the one question that I have, you guys, which one of you said that he wants to see Cena beat himself in a ring for 20 minutes?
Me.
Me.
Okay, I thought that our porno king wasn't on the show yet.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Har, 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 har.
I'm just saying. I mean, if you're going to spend $49.95
if it was Spug, it would have been. I want to see Cena beat himself while midgets are beating him too.
No, he just wants to see midgets beat Cena. But if you're going to spend $49.95 on a pay-per-view, the last thing I want to do is spend 20 minutes of watching Cena beating off.
Isn't that just every single Cena match so far?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you might as well just put Lacey Von Erich up there, put a flag over her face, and, you know, we're not going to continue that. If you missed the beginning of the show, that's your own fault. Go back and listen to the archives.
Put a flag over her face and stand in attention.
Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, whatever the anthems are. So, Triple H with a possible neck injury. How potentially damaging is this to the future career of the game?
Not very, because he'll come back, but it does mean that Sheamus might actually, like, be able to get a push again.
I know, Triple H could be stuck in one of those old-fashioned neck braces with the screws going into his skull, and he'd still win a championship.
I think if he has a neck injury, or a suspected one, the guy has had bad quad problems. Now his neck's starting to go. Get out while you can and rest it up.
It's time to put the baby H's in there as the tag team champions.
Oh, wait, no, he's wrestling Sheamus. Oh, he's going to get hurt.
Well, with the imminent arrival of the third baby Triple H, don't you think that this would probably be... Oh, yeah, Steph's pregnant again. Don't you think this is a perfect time for Triple H to, like, take some time off and rest and heal up?
Motherfuck, they are popping them out, aren't they?
Well, they got two girls. I think they're trying for a boy, you know. But anyway, that being said...
Triple H is going to have a whole stable, his own little division of... women's fans to just cover the both women's divisions on both shows. It's going to be amazing.
Well, I think they're trying for a boy this time. I mean, figure it. You know, the McMahon-Helmsley family doesn't have any boys.
They're all going to have huge noses and screechy voices and $20,000 breast implants.
So, I don't know, maybe they're having a contest with Shane, first one to five wins. Anyway, isn't this the best time for Triple H to decide to actually take some time off? That way he'll actually be at home during
That's logical, but...
But?
He's a wrestler.
He's not a stupid wrestler. Well, no, hold on, that came out...
Thank you, Will.
Yeah.
Thanks for catching yourself, yeah.
He's a smarter wrestler. The guy's been around some of the most injury-prone men in the business. He's best friends with them. You'd hope he'd learn that, say, I'm starting to hurt. It's probably best I go take a break. The guy's very business savvy, so I can see him saying, you know what, I'm going to step back for a bit.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea, and I'm a full proponent of professional wrestlers having individual off seasons. I mean, they should all be given a couple of months off every year.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the toughest jobs you could possibly work, and you know, you got to take care of yourself, and especially someone like Triple H with family on the way and a huge burden on his shoulders. He needs that time.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Will.
I was actually thinking about that the other day, about wrestlers getting that off-season, because I was thinking, man, what would they do for their WrestleMania? Because, you know, that Raw and SmackDown right after WrestleMania is always a good way to catch up on loose ends and such. And I was thinking, when would be a good time for them to do it? Because you want to see that Raw after WrestleMania, where emotions are still hot. But then after that, they get right into building the next storyline. So when would be a good time to do the off season? Ideally after WrestleMania, but how far after WrestleMania?
Well, no, you'd have to stagger everybody's time off, right?
No, yeah. Now you see, I would disagree with that. I mean, if it was just one solid time off section, I figure put it toward the holidays and use the Royal Rumble as your big return to the season.
Well, they sort of already have their own little time off between Christmas and New Year's.
Right, but that's what, 5 days?
About 2 weeks.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. Yeah, it is.
They do the tribute to the troops leading up to Christmas, and then it's usually a recap show for New Year's.
Yeah, this is true. So, that being said, everybody, we're going to take our first break of the night. Our first break of the night is our newest WTR Tributes video. And so, get ready to watch the Ustream player and get on the instant message with everybody on your contact list who's not listening or watching WTR and have them tune in, especially if they are fans of professional wrestling, because we're about to show this thing here. Get ready for it. On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about gimmick matches. Specifically, what are we going to be talking about? You'll find out when we come back. Everybody listening to Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
Welcome back, Russ Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There it was, you saw the latest WTR tributes video. Yeah, I brought the Hitman Hart. And, no, that wasn't put together just because I happen to be a Bret Hart fan, and yada, yada, yada. So, those of you who think I'm a Bret Hart mark, go to hell. Anyway, that will be on the Wild Talk Radio YouTube page later on tonight. To join the WTR tribute from last week to the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. So if you missed last week's after the show tonight, just go to the Wild Talk Radio page on YouTube, and you can catch it there. Speaking of which, our very own Jersey Girl in the chat room there put together her own Shawn Michaels tribute video. And it's on her YouTube page, and she showed it to me earlier this evening. I gotta tell you, it's really good. And so all I can say is go watch it. She's got the link. I just put the link up there in the chat room. When you get a chance after the show tonight, click on the link and, have a gander. Does good work. And she's got a few of them up there on her page, as a matter of fact. A few different ones. But, yeah, no, the Shawn Michaels video that she did was really good. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it yet or not, but if and when you get the chance to do so, I think that you'll be pretty impressed with what she's put together. With that being said, thanks, Rock. Appreciate it. Now that we are back and into the second segment, let's talk a little bit about gimmick matches, shall we, everybody?
Sure.
Taking the time machine back to WCW.
Boom, 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 boom. Has the specialness of the gimmick match been lost in pro wrestling? Hell in the Cell, Elimination Chamber, Lockdown, where the whole goddamn pay-per-view is a cage match. Mace?
Yes.
Short and sweet and to the point, hey?
Yeah.
Omega?
Well, I got to thinking about this, and today we know these gimmicks as something that WWE overkills and overpromotes, and now we've ditched pay-per-views that have stood for years in favor of renamed pay-per-view events that focus on Hell in a Cell, Money in the Bank, Breaking Point for submission matches. Just taking whatever gimmick you want and making an entire pay-per-view that basically revolves around it. This is nothing new. I mean, back Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, King of the Ring. They were all just gimmick matches that they focused an entire pay-per-view around, and it worked to a point. Those do become extremely special events, provided that they only happen there. Where I think gimmick matches have lost their appeal is, number one, there are so freaking many of them at this point that any one of them could be used at any time, and it just kind of waters the entire thing down. And when a lot of these, like, we're getting ready for Money in the Bank as a pay-per-view, and we just finished a Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, and we don't know if it's going to be at the next WrestleMania or not. Most likely not, but you still have several going on in a row here. And the same thing applies to, like, Hell in a Cells or Elimination Chambers. You know, they're just modified cage matches, which we see all the time. We're very accustomed to. So, yeah, I mean, in short, yeah, a lot of these gimmick matches have lost a lot of their impact.
Okay, Will?
WCW had a lot of a lot of gimmick heavy pay per views too. If anyone remembers,
War Games.
No, not War Games. Uncensored. When it first started, it was, oh, these are all unsanctioned matches, and they're all no DQ, and blah, 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 and shit like that. And even before that, oh, God, it was way back when, I want to say early 90s WCW. I want to say the Bash, but that's not it. But there was a...
World War III?
No, it was like a predecessor to Uncensored, where basically, like, it was nothing but gimmick matches. And one of them were two guys fighting in the back of a moving truck, which was fucking retarded. And,
oh, I remember that one. That was absolutely fucking horrid.
Was it Uncensored Rock? Huh. I just remember, well, fuck, my timeline's off in the 90s, whatever. The point, yeah, Dustin Rhodes was in it, so it was early 90s. Anyways, the problem with gimmick matches was... It's just the way they use them, how often they use them. The Hell in a Cell was, when it first started to get used, it was a match that said, this is going to end your feud. Plain and simple. Once you're in it, it's done. And you could look at the Hell in a Cell, and you knew that it was going to be brutal, because that's what they saved the brutality for. You know, just... The Hell in a Cell has some of the most brutal moments in wrestling history, if you remember, most of them revolving around Foley, but the fact is, they saved it for brutal moments. With the advent of a pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell in the middle of a PG-rated era of WWE, all they are is just really, really big cages. And if we just wanted really, really big cages, all we would have to go and do is go watch some WCW, where they had nothing but a shit ton of different cages, whether it was a Hell in a Cell style one, a triple caged one, two rings wide, one that fit right in the middle of the ring that was a specialty for Scott Steiner, one that handcuffed people. They had a shit ton of cages.
Three-tiered cage.
Yeah. And it's not only Hell in a Cell, just every match that you could look forward to because it wasn't used often is just, it's been overused. Ladder matches, I think one of the few that don't get used anymore is table matches. And the last time we saw one of those, we got Sheamus as the world champion. Oh boy. It's just in an era of PG wrestling in the WWE where most of your main wrestling fans will be watching, and with so many pay-per-views that are built around these gimmicks, it just, not only does it lose the speciality of the match, but it just loses any impact it would have ever had it been saved for the end of a feud, or saved from, like, instead of 2 weeks ago where we did the same match, we waited 6 months to do it again.
Hmm. So, when were gimmick matches considered something special, and when did that feeling start to go away, do you think?
It peaked in the 80s and died in the 90s.
That's basically what I was going to say. In the 80s, you got the gimmick match to end a feud. In the 90s, it just became another way to continue the feud. If you know, back in the older days, a cage match wasn't, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of here. No, it was like, here's a cage, you're gonna beat the shit out of each other. If you run, you're still gonna beat the shit out of each other. It wasn't used as an escape, it was used as a way to keep two people in and give them access to just completely annihilate each other. Now, it's just, I mean, these are, fuck, during the Bischoff era of general managing Raw, it was a cage match every 3 weeks, and they just lost any luster they had.
Not to mention the design of the cage changed, too. I missed the old bulky blue bastard.
Yeah!
I see that thing looked like it could fuck you up three ways from Sunday.
You know, yeah, I mean, it didn't have the give that, you know, like a chain link fence cage does.
Yeah, but even still, you can... The cage may look rough, but remember, Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair put on a hell of a cage match with the chain link fence.
Oh, you can put on a hell of a match, but, you know, these days, if you see the chain link fence, and, you know, people are bouncing off of it more than actually getting hurt by it.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, it used to be back in the 80s, and this was the main time where I was watching just WWF at the time. The only things you'd really see gimmicks-wise, you had the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, then you had, you know, you might have a cage match at WrestleMania or a leather strap match. Then you had Survivor Series in November, I believe it was. You know, the traditional Survivor Series. And then that was it. But these days, it's like every single pay-per-view has to have a gimmick attached to it. Yeah, yeah. So it's just completely destroying the reason to have them.
Well, do you think that TNA and WWE are oversaturating the fans with these gimmick matches and gimmick pay-per-views in an effort to generate more revenue one way or the other, or at least viewership, thinking, oh, if we do this, we'll get more people watching, as opposed to doing something to build up to one a year, as opposed to like four a year?
Oh, of course they are. You know, and it's, I hate to be the one to say it, it's not so much TNA as it is the WWE. You look at TNA, they stand by the staple, you know, you got your ladder matches, then you got your more sort of out there things like the Ultimate X and whatever that friggin' weird ass scaffold thing they tried a few years ago.
Elevation X.
Rhino and AJ. That's the one. Yeah, other than that, they've got ladder matches and cage matches. And even then, they're not pulling them out every single week. Whereas WWE, they've got not only ladder matches, cage matches, they've got Money in the Bank, Elimination Chamber, Hell in a Cell, fucking, you know, 750,000 different versions of every gimmick match under the sun now. And they seem to be doing it more often than TNA. They're trying to get the people who turn around and go, ooh, shiny, and try to get that, you know, that type of mentality. They're treating us like morons and magpies.
Interesting point. Can't disagree with it.
Yeah, basically. I mean, they've got it to a point where it's like, do we want to save it up for when it'll matter, or do we need to pop the ratings now? We need to pop the ratings now. Quick, put something out there that'll make them go, ooh.
Well, yeah, but isn't that, Will, what you just said, isn't that sort of ignoring the forest by looking at the trees?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, you're spending dollars to save pennies. How many other cliches can I pull out here?
Putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound?
Yeah, you know, something like that. Isn't overkill...
Putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound works only for Sabu.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no, you'd also need the crazy glue, too, with Sabu. Right? But simply, the oversaturation of all of these gimmick matches and gimmick pay-per-views, you know, gimmick this and gimmick that and stipulation this and stipulation that, just has no real appeal anymore, because you're just basically, yeah, whatever, as opposed to like, oh wow, yeah, let's do, all right, you know, you were looking forward to that Hell in a Cell match that you know was coming around at the November pay-per-view. Even though you're stuck in February and you haven't even seen WrestleMania yet, you couldn't wait to see Hell in a Cell. Now, you know, they're going to announce, oh, you know, we're going to have a Hell in a Cell match at Over the Limit in May. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, who cares? Now, of course, they haven't announced they're going to have a Hell in a Cell at Overlimit. I mean, I'm just using it as an example. But do you really care? Is that any extra incentive anymore?
I sort of paraphrase Doug William off Impact this week. Too much hippity-hoppity bouncing around and not enough of the sweet science of technical wrestling. We're getting to a point where a straight one-on-one normal standard match is going to become a gimmick match of itself, because you'll be so used to all these ladder matches, cage matches, and everything else that just a pure one-on-one match will be something rare.
Well, that's an interesting point.
Go ahead, Will.
That was the genius of Paul Heyman's booking. ECW, yeah, you could do what you want, but they didn't do it every match. I remember hearing from people some of the best matches they saw were the Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero matches where it was straight up wrestling. They had the weapons and the gimmicks and stuff in ECW, but it was, they used them when they needed them and not just because they could. Another big problem with them using the gimmicks so often is that we've seen it all already. It's gotten to the point where someone is announced in a cage match, we go, oh, I've seen that already, I know what they're gonna do. The only real match we ever see any innovations in are either Ultimate X or ladder matches. Other than that, just the matches that they put out these days, you've already seen nearly everything you could do in that type of match because they've used it so often that it's burned out and it's hard to do anything new.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, we're gonna get back to this in just a little bit, but we got two callers on the air simultaneously right now. Randy's calling in. Randy, how you doing and what's on your mind tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Just chilling here at my house. Nothing much. Listening to the show. And talk about this gimmick matches, and I have to agree with what all y'all pretty much have to say about it, that the gimmicks have become there's too many gimmicks for it, and it's becoming now just a marketing tool for people to buy the pay-per-view. Like, ooh, let's not use Backlash or Judgment Day anymore, let's have Extreme Rules and Over the Limit, which, yeah, they had Extreme Rules before as a one-night thing, and okay, that's an exception, but then when every other pay-per-view, regardless of your big four, not only about three, you have, it's just another gimmick pay-per-view, and it's become tiring to the fans one point or another.
Good point, Randy, and we've just got one thing to say to you before we let you go and move on after your phone call. Get a freaking mic! Thanks for calling. Randy McWilliams, everybody. Hey, he writes a column that he posts on Wild Talk Radio, Sun City Smackdown. Check it out whenever he gets off his lazy ass to post his next column. We got another caller on the air. Caller, who's this and where are you from?
I need my own theme music.
Bitch, you don't need nothing. Get home and get on Skype. What are you doing, Spud?
I was out hanging out with friends, to be honest.
You're not allowed to have a wife. You're not allowed to have a wife on Sunday nights.
I'm not gonna lie, I put in 50 hours at the landscape company and 15 at the pizza shop this weekend, and I went and hung out with some friends tonight. I'm sorry.
You're not allowed to have a wife on Sunday nights. We aren't, so there you go. So you want to?
Hold on, Spug has friends? Holy shit!
Well,
do you know how much I have to pay them to be my friends?
I was about to say he's working his landscaping 50 hours a week for a reason there, Mace. But, Spug, you want a theme song? Okay, we'll give you your theme song.
Oh.
Yes!
Folks, I'd like to sing a song about the arts. Maybe below.
Yes!
About me. About you. About the way our American hearts beat way down in the bottom of our chests. About that special feeling we get.
It's taking a while to get to the punchline here.
Maybe below the cockles. Maybe in the subcocal area. Maybe in the liver. Maybe in the kidneys. Maybe even in the colon.
Maybe even in the colon. We don't know.
We don't know. I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white suburbanite slum. I like football and porno and books about war. I got an average house with a nice hardwood floor. My wife and my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh no,
no way. No, I've gotta go out and have fun at someone else's expense.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. I drive really slow in the ultra fast lane while people behind me are going insane. I'm an
yeah, there's your theme songs, Bug.
That theme song is awesome. It's so
yeah,
neat.
Yeah, well,
by the way, did Rock tell you I want my line updated in the new in the intro?
Well, we'll figure that out in a bit. But you know, the song fits you perfectly, not just because, you know, the title of the song is I'm an Asshole, but it takes a fucking long for him to get to that part where he actually sings, you know, quote unquote, I'm an asshole, you know, that's just an asshole thing to do. It takes too much fucking time. Am I wrong, Omega? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's a hell of a long time just to get to the point.
Oh my God, you know what? We're gonna trim that down just so that, you know, we hear the guitar strum and then he sings the chorus, I'm an asshole. Just for you, Spug.
You just need the ending part where he's yelling it out.
Oh, you'll
hey,
like what?
Yes, Joe, Ellie, everybody!
Yeah, you'll like what we do with it. But, how far away from home are you?
Oh, maybe about 10 minutes.
All right. So, well, while we're waiting for you to get home, I think it's time to move on and progress this discussion from gimmick matches to chair shots to the head in professional wrestling. Now that we've got both of our independent professional wrestlers on the show, at the same time, I'm going to get your opinions, guys, on this whole thing. I don't know if you read Lance Storm's latest blog/column on stormwrestling.com, but he has stated that he is finished with TNA, period, end of story, no ifs, ands, or buts, no second chances, simply because of a stiff chair shot to the head of the global champion. Mace, do you begrudge Lance Storm harping about how stupid this is, especially in this day and age with what we know nowadays about concussions and the severity of head injuries and things that have happened to guys like Chris Nowinski, whose career was ended as a result of a concussion, or Chris Benoit, whose autopsy showed that he had the brain of an 85-year-old man with dementia because of all of the headshots that he's taken.
Personally, I think Lance Storm's a fucking retard, but that's besides the point. He did... I haven't actually read the entire sort of rant that he probably did about this. Lance Storm been somebody who's been trying to find a reason to rant on TNA since it fucking began.
Yeah.
He's just... I really just think he's an over-opinionated dickwad. but... chair shots to the head.
Oh, his neck.
Yeah, his neck. Chair shots to the head, yeah, I could see the reason you go off about it, especially the chair shot that Big Rob Terry took, or should I say the freak Rob Terry.
Yeah, the freak, the big righted up freak Rob Terry.
Yeah, he fucking, I swear I saw that entire chair bend over the entire curvature of his skull at that point. But then again, that was homicide that fucking cut him open, though.
Yeah.
So it's sort of up to you whether you take it or not and how you take it. There are protective ways to do it, and I've actually taken an unprotected chair shot to the head myself and had a concussion for the next pretty straight A's. I don't see there's a reason to ban it. I'd say just train you guys up to protect yourselves. It's always better to protect yourself than have to ban something completely.
Okay. Spud, what about you? What's your opinion on it?
It's like sex. If you protect yourself well enough, you can do it as often as you like. But you do it unprotected, one of these times you're going to get caught. The thing with the chair shots is everybody's trained in the proper way to take a head chair shot. Everybody is. You throw your arm up, you make sure the person giving the chair shot is using the flat part. Too many people nowadays want to swing a chair like they're trying to rip someone's head off with it and hit them with the crown of the chair instead of the flat seat part. Those chairs aren't normal folding chairs. Most of those chairs are made out of aluminum, so they bend and give a loud sound. Same with the steps. They're easy enough to take a hit from because aluminum is a soft, malleable metal when in that condition, so it bends and folds and crumples and takes the impact easy enough.
Okay.
You get on that folded crown part up by the back of the chair, and it's just going to cut you open and cause more injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys like Mick Foley, Terry Funk, and Chris Benoit made a living out of taking unprotected chair shots. Now look at him. Terry Funk can barely walk. Mick Foley's headed that way, and we all know what happened to Chris Benoit. So Lance Storm is partially right. And in the other sense, Mace is right. He's just an over-opinionated dickwad.
Of course, you guys are basing your opinions on Lance Storm just from what you've read and heard.
Look, yeah, of course. Basing it off these Storm, fucking rants he's done.
Mace is Lance also Storm, basing it off... Sorry. Spug, go.
Yeah, Lance Storm is one of the guys that I admire because he still trains people the right way. He still trains them in the long lost arts and that are long forgotten in professional wrestling today. So I respect the hell out of him for it. But we all know when we step into that ring, there are certain things and certain storylines that are going to be required, and chair shots are one of them. Sometimes a chair shot to the back, chest, or legs just doesn't look as devastating as one to the head. And if you protect yourself proper enough, you're just fine.
Okay. As non-wrestlers, as fans of wrestling, Omega, what's your thought on it really quickly?
You know, the chair is such a legacy in pro wrestling. Me as a fan, like, I can walk through a department store with somebody, we'll pass through the folding chairs and go, hey, it's the pro wrestling department. And everyone I know that I could be there with gets that joke. So,
okay.
Yeah, to see it being neutered and nerfed and being banned, you know, the headshot being banned, you know, I agree with Spug, you know, the unprotected shot I can see, but you know, if the guys know how to take it properly, if they know how to guard themselves, if they don't be stupid with them, I don't see a real problem with it.
Okay, before we get to you, Will, just really quickly, have we got another caller on the line?
Yes, you do. It's Scott.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, not so bad. What's up with you tonight, man?
Oh, nothing much. Just listening to the show. You know, planning our show that comes on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. OWW Radio.
Rock, give him a point. He's learning how to plug properly. So what's your opinion on all this, Scott?
Actually, I've been to a few indie shows, you know, Ring of Honor, a few local places here, where I've seen unprotected chair shots, and they're not pretty. I've actually seen Necro Butcher take one, and I thought he died in the middle of the ring.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Necro, though. He does that all the time.
Yeah.
I know he does it all the time, but still. I mean, that was one of the few times I actually worried about the guy, and I've seen the guy wrestle, you know, with big holes in his body because of the stupid light tubes and everything. But still, after seeing what's happened in the past, banning unprotected chair shots. I'm with regular chair shots. You know, if you know how to protect yourself, you know how to protect yourself. I mean, I can honestly say that every once in a while, I do want to see a chair shot to the head. Just not one that's so blatantly dangerous.
Well, the problem with you know, a quote-unquote protected chair shot to the head, don't you think that it becomes a little bit obvious, especially when the wrestler turns around and his hand is already up past his forehead because he knows that chair shot is coming?
Oh, you mean like the whole Triple H syndrome there?
Yeah.
He always has his hand up before.
You know? Boom.
You know, if it's done correctly, it looks good. I mean, Mick Foley usually took he did get his hand up. You notice he gets a hand up, but he still took it to the head.
Yeah.
Mick Foley would. And I think he was able to protect himself enough. I think the fact that he just did all that other jump to his body really broke him down. The Hell in a Cell, the stunt at SummerSlam with The Rock, or whatever pay-per-view it was.
Yeah.
You know,
Royal Rumble, where he took 15 unprotected chair shots in a row.
Well, that was just stupid. I don't think anyone's going to deny that at this point. That was, I can't even respond. I remember I bought that pay-per-view, too. And even as a kid, well, not a kid, I was 17 at the time, but I was sitting there watching it.
Yeah,
bite me.
You're a different generation. You didn't understand back then.
No, I did understand, actually. That was like, I got past the whole kayfabe part of it, and I was starting to learn about the business. I had the internet and everything.
Yeah,
that's when I started really getting interested.
Yeah, no, before you continue, I do have to say that that was actually, I did that on purpose for Will. Will got it. Will will have gotten that, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but,
okay.
As I, yeah, hey, well, I'll explain it to you later off the air, Scott. It's kind of funny, and it has to do with OWW Radio, 9 o'clock Eastern Tuesday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, hang on just quick sec, Scott. Will, it is your turn to have your quick comment about a chair shot to the head.
Chair shots are another one of those things, like we were talking about gimmick matches that just got overused just too frequently. Yeah, unprotected chair shots are dangerous. And yeah, if you fuck them up, they're going to hurt somebody. That doesn't mean, though, every night you need to go out there taking unprotected chair shots. You know, whoever, I think it was you, Tim, that said, you know, sometimes a chair to the back just, or was it Spug? Either way, chair to the back sometimes just doesn't get it across. And, you know, not everyone can take that unprotected chair shot. Guys like Foley can. But, you know, I'm going to be honest, I loved that chair shot that Rob Terry took, and I loved that necktie that Hernandez gave Jesse Neal a few pay-per-views ago where he basically killed the guy with a chair. But that's not something I want to see every week, because one, it loses its impact, two, it's going to really hurt somebody if you do it over and over again. So while I agree on the looking down on it, if it's something they plan to use often, I don't agree with Lance Storm going, oh, well, they did something I don't like, and I've always looked for things they don't I don't like at TNA, so fuck it, I'm finally got my reason to stop watching it.
Okay, there you go.
Because that's been Lance Storm from the beginning. He's never really given it a chance.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. So, Scott, have you got anything else for us tonight?
Yeah, actually, I want to announce that the Dark City Fight Club will be our live interview on this Tuesday night, OWW Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Awesome. So Dark City Fight Club on OWW Radio with Nick Anthony and Alan Wojcik. Yeah, this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, they are.
Scott.
We're actually really looking forward to it.
Scott.
Yes, yes.
Before you go, I have a message for you to take back to your boss.
What makes you think he's my boy?
He runs the show, doesn't he? He's your boss.
He thinks he does.
He's not a. Tell him if he's not a pussy, he'll show up and accept my challenge for a debate.
Maybe.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I just want to say, hey, Scott, thanks for calling in. And, we'll definitely be checking out OWW Radio Tuesday night right here on the Wild Talk.
You better.
5 o'clock Eastern.
Good night, guys.
Have a good one, Scotty. All right. Hey, there was Scott, one of the producers of OWW Radio. By now, you should know when and where. You don't need me to tell you again, do you? Do you? Do you?
9 p.m. Really Tuesdays care. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
9 p.m. Tuesdays right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's right. And we're all looking forward to all of you showing up and giving Nick Anthony a hard time because he fucking deserves it. You guys, you need to show up, and when he starts talking bullshit trash, you need to call in and school him like I schooled him on the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. What was that, 3 weeks ago now? You know what I'm talking about, those of you who tuned in and listened. And boy, did I get some positive feedback from a lot of guys saying congratulations, nice going, way to be, yada, yada, yada. I'm pretty positive that Scott, he will be in the chat room on Tuesday night, and if you school Nick Anthony by calling in and talking to him on any subject he brings up, he's going to figuratively pat you on the back as well. Scott, if I'm wrong, let me know. But that being said...
See, Tim, I would bother, but I learned a long time ago that hitting your head against a brick wall isn't going to change the brick wall at all.
Yeah, it's a little harder than a steel chair. But getting back to our yapping about the steel chair, yeah, you were about to say something nice.
Yeah, one of the things that I've noticed that made a difference between what you guys do over there in the US and Canada against what we're doing here in Australia, the chairs we use here are actually very padded. They're basically the type of chairs that they put in the front few rows. But I noticed that you guys use mainly steel chairs for the noise. And that's probably a big difference when it comes down to what happens to the guys in the long run. But also, that being said, I have actually pulled up probably what I'm guessing is half of the Lance Storm rant about this. His main problem is the chair shot happening 2 days after Chris Kanyon's death.
Yeah.
He seems like he's using Kanyon's death as an excuse to rant on something that happened at TNA.
Proving, once again,
this guy is a dick.
Or do you think that the death of Kanyon might have, you know, set into the back of his mind and he was upset about it and this just kind of, you know, pushed him over that edge?
I think it's just that, yes, okay, he worked with Kanyon in WCW. He knew the guy, fellow member of the wrestling community and everything. Of course there's going to be some sort of grief or some sort of anger when something happens, but this was just some way for Lance to turn around and say, here's something I don't like about TNA, I'm going to rip the living fuck out of it and then not bother with the program ever again, which he has said in the past, and we all know he'll go back, he'll watch it because he needs something to bitch and complain about while he's not training Australians over there in Canada.
And real quick, bringing Kanyon into the fold, unless they, you know, come out and prove that Kanyon's brain was messed up like Benoit's and that's part contributed to his depression or whatever that caused him to take his own life. Kanyon wasn't killed by a chair shot. So for Lance Storm, if it's like Mace is saying, to attribute, to even connect those two in any way, is just Lance Storm reaching for reasons to hate on a product. You know, Ghost Bug.
Mace brought it up about the Americans using steel chairs or aluminum chairs. I personally, if I have to do a spot like that, I don't use chairs. The dollar stores around here sell these pans. They're big, like pizza sheet pans, for about $4.50, and they're made out of a very lightweight steel. And they bend, and they make a hell of a noise, and they don't hurt. You can crack somebody on the flat part of the head as hard as you want, and all it's going to do is wrap around their skull and make a loud bang, and they're not going to feel a thing. if you're going to try to do shots like that, and I mean we've had the conversation for the better part of 20 minutes now of unprotected chair shots versus protected chair shots.
Unprotected chair shots, yeah, versus protected sex, if I remember correctly.
Well, protected chair shots.
Well, no. They both serve
their purpose, but there are plenty of alternatives to a steel chair. A big metal pan. You know, things like that. They work. They get the point across. They make the noise that you want, and they get the crowd reaction.
Yeah, 100 feet away from the ring, no one's going to tell how thick or heavy that pan is, but they'll hear it make a thwack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what that goes into is what I said earlier, that it's gotten to a point where, you know, people expect the chair because they overused the chair. When there were options like the cookie sheets or a kendo stick, which can make a hell of a noise and won't have the same damage as a chair.
Oh no, you ever gotten whacked with a kendo stick before?
Oh.
They sting a lot more than a fucking chair, let me tell you.
They'll sting, but I'm not saying I know. Will it have the same long-term effect that a possible chair shot can have?
No, but it does leave a nasty welt for a while, and it does hurt. People like to think that kendo sticks don't hurt that much. They fucking sting.
I've been nicked with a kendo stick. I didn't even get it full on. Yeah, I know it hurts.
They don't feel too good. But, you know, it's not even the use of chair shots, Will, and you're onto a good point with the overuse of it. It's the overuse of weapons in general. Think about it right now. The angle going on between Sheamus and Triple H. Sheamus comes out at Shawn Michaels' retirement and cracks Triple H with that lead pipe and then does it again on Monday night this past week. Or he cracked somebody with it. I think it was like Randy Orton or somebody. But he got somebody with a lead pipe. And then Triple H comes running out. What's the first thing he gets when he gets to the ring?
Sledgehammer.
The sledgehammer. You know, the overuse of weapons in professional wrestling is in an extreme. And you got to do something to calm it down. Now, do you have to go out and start banning weapons? No, but a little prejudicial use might go a long way. Make the weapon
education goes a long way.
It will make the weapon mean something again overall. I mean, you see somebody pull out a chair, a sledgehammer, a ladder. They're using the ladder again. It's not that big of a deal anymore.
A weapon used to be something they reached for either in severe desperation or out of severe anger now they just want to hurt somebody. Nowadays, you know, Sheamus just walks out there with a pipe, bashes them in the head, and goes, meh, I'm here again, big deal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you look at Triple H using a sledgehammer, though. That's a perfect example of somebody who works out the way to use these type of weapons properly and safely, so that you get the impact, but at the same time, you are protecting the person that you're attacking. You never see him just full-on swing it and try and take somebody's friggin' forehead off with a sledgehammer. He's always got it covered with his hand, so every time when he hits him in the head or he hits him in the gut, he's always got the main bulk of the sledgehammer covered, so it's not going to hurt him or the opponent. Chair shot, I don't care how many times people will say, oh, it looks shit. Putting your hand up onto the top of your head and letting the chair hit your arm is going to be a lot more effective and safer for you in the long run than just taking an unprotected chair shot. You know, I should have put my hand up when I took one. I took one on the side of the head and fucking went blank for about 3 minutes.
Mace, can I ask you a question? And everybody else, feel free to chime in.
Mm-hmm.
When you see something flying at your head, what is your basic human reaction?
You're making the point I was going to
cover up.
You throw up your hands. So, and I was trained this way in the ring. Because it's not only served to protect you, but it's served to make it look real. Is that you wait until you see that chair flying at you. Until, you know, you can get your hands up, because it's basic self-preservation. You know, you don't want to throw them up too early, because then, you know, you're trying to block people in the crowd will know you're trying to block it. But if you're in the middle of the ring and you see someone flying across the ring at you with a chair, and they're 6 inches from your head with it, and you throw your arms up, and it hits your arms and your head, one, you're taking a protected chair shot. Two, you're getting the point across, you know, to help sell it for the guy you're wrestling. And three, it looks like basic human preservation. It looks like it looks like you're trying to protect yourself because this guy wants to kill you.
See, okay. That's what I've always thought when I've seen a guy get their hands up at the right time. Not the guy who, oh, here's my hand, now turn around and hit me. When they get their hands up at the right time, it looks like instinct. Oh, I'm going to get hit with a chair, protect myself. I think one of the best examples was actually Chris Benoit in a TLC match. Edge and Christian were about to hit him with the concerto. He throws his hands up to his head to protect himself, so what did they do? They hit him in the ribs with it. But, you know, that was him going, oh shit, chair, protect myself. You know, it was instinct.
Okay, so just as we wrap this up before we go to break, do you think that Lance overreacted? Stupid question.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid question. Of course the dickhead overreacted.
Okay, Omega?
Yeah, this is going way, way too far. And he's trying to connect dots that most likely do not exist.
Okay, Will?
Yeah, he is. And if I can make another point real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Mace said education. And he's right. A lot of it comes to do with knowing what you're doing. And with the WWE just banning shit outright, you know, it's like when they banned the Shooting Star. It's not because it was dangerous. Well, I mean, it is, but it's because the guy who was doing it sucked at doing it. You know, if you teach these guys how to do it right the first time, there will be accidents, but there will be a lot less of them.
Spug!
I couldn't have said it any better than Omega and Will said.
Okay, so there you go. Everybody, Lance Storm overreacting to a chair shot to the head. That being said, nonetheless, I think that the very stiff chair shot that Rob Terry took last Monday night was overboard and out of line. And it shouldn't have been done the way it was done. It was extremely stiff. He got cut the hard way. If you had kept watching as he's staring down Homicide at the end there, just before they went to break, blood was starting to run from the top of his scalp down onto his forehead. So Lance Storm, yeah, okay, Lance, you overreacted according to the panel. But at the same time, I get where you're coming from. And, yeah, unprotected chair shots to the head, no.
I think we all get where he's coming from. It's just how severely he's reacting to it. Plus, he's trying to connect dots.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think he was pretty, he was probably a little harsher than he normally would be just because of the death of Canyon a couple days later. That's, you know, our opinions. Everybody's got one, and you're entitled to your own, just like we're entitled to ours. That being said, everybody, we're going to take our final time out of the evening. We're going to be right back on the other side of this break. Take a quick look at what we can for the TNA lockdown preview. I think there's like 4 matches that are locked in and good to go to this point. And then quick hits, and then we're out of here. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. And just as we go to break, I want to say, hey, listen, there's a banner just above the chat room, and it says something about WTRN's Nick Splash for Cash. It's a fundraiser charity. It's to help blind and deaf children. Nick is participating. Apparently he knows how to swim, so he's trying to raise money by swimming 100 laps or whatever. At least that's what he did the other day. So basically he's trying to raise money for Australia's largest independent special educator for those children with hearing and vision disabilities. Please check out the site, click the banner. The banner will take you where you need to go. And that being said, we'll be back right on the other side of this quick timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional. Realist.
Genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Fuck math.
Oh well, yeah. The hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Fuck you, Mav!
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
On the 12th day of Christmas, WTR gave to me 12 sinful stories.
11 swipes at mouth.
10 shots of whiskey.
9 live shows.
8 liter jokes.
7 reminders to call in.
Days of programming.
5 like starting shows.
4 shows this bug guy.
3 wrestling talk shows.
2 Australian.
Get a pay-per-view post-show for free!
Tune in Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Kim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm trying to talk as fast as I can, maybe to try to get through as much as possible, because I'm going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to be plugging them away. Hey, everybody, Knobs or Sags or one of the nasty fuckers, he's going to break his silence right here on the ham. You got to make sure that you tune in right here on the ham. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, fuck, too many emails from the Big Mosh.
Pope is pimping.
You'd make a terrible auctioneer. Pope is pimping.
Is that well?
I said you'd make a terrible auctioneer.
You haven't heard Mosh.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, there you go. So Monday Night Mayhem, not on the Wild Talk Radio Network, so we won't tell you when it's on or where. So, because we don't care. Fuck, I'm in a bad mood tonight. Anyway, hey.
You are in a bad mood.
I'll tell you, it's just nuts. There's kind of a reason why I'm in a bit of a mood today. Today's a very special day. Rock, I'm not even going to type it to you. I'm just going to tell you, you might as well get ready right now. You know, that picture we talked about. Guys, I just would like everybody to do me a huge favor and say happy birthday to the most important person in my entire life. You're going to see him on the Ustream video in just a sec. There he is. That's a picture of him last Friday night. We went down to the Pengrove Saddle Dome here in Calgary, Alberta, because we got tickets to the Calgary Hitmen hockey game at the Western Hockey League. That's my son, Owen. That's what he looks like now. Today, very, very big, very special day in both his life and mine. My son, Owen James, yes, named after Owen Hart, is now an unbelievably god-awfully old 10. So if you guys would all join me in saying a happy birthday to my son, Owen. Boy, I love you more than words can say, and I love you more than life itself. And every time I see even a picture of you, I get choked up just... I have love for absolutely nobody else, and I have room for absolutely nobody else in my life, and it's all because of you, and I wouldn't have it any other way, buddy.
Do you need a hug, Tim?
I'm starting to get there, but you know, can you blame me? Look at him. He's just the greatest kid in the world. You know, I can't believe he's 10 years old, man. I love you, Owen. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Happy birthday, son.
I just got to watch a 4-year-old sleepwalk. So
everybody, if you'll just join me in wishing my son Owen a happy 10th birthday.
Happy 10th birthday, Owen. See, when he said it was a very special day, I was like, yes, the Calgary Flames got put out of the playoffs.
Aww.
Happy birthday, Owen. It goes all downhill from here.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Owen.
So, yeah, proud dad moment, there it is.
Know how to pull the heartstrings, Tim. I almost started to get teary-eyed.
Well, I'll tell you.
You know what, Tim? I can understand this, because, like you, I am a proud papa of a
yep.
soon-to-be 5-year-old little girl.
Yep.
And she made me cry the other day. Mm-hmm. We were standing there, and I was going through my closet and, like, going through my sports jerseys I had and stuff, and my Browns jersey was on the bed, and she put it on, and of course she swims and can't even get her arms in the hole, but she goes, "Daddy, someday I want a Browns jersey just like yours." And I was like,
"Aww,
I was like, that's so sweet."
Aww, sniff. Yeah, well, he brought tears to my eyes Friday night. We got into the Saddle Dome, you know, the place where the Calgary Flames keep losing this season. And we sat down, you know, Grandma had her seat, Owen had his seat, and I had my seat. And Owen spent the entire game sitting in my lap when he wasn't standing up cheering for the Calgary Hitmen, named after, you know, the original owner, Brett the Hitman Hart.
We got a call, by the way.
We'll get there in just a quick sec. Before the game even started, before the opening even began, before, you know, all the fireworks and displays and all that other stuff, he wrapped his arms around my neck, gave me the world's biggest hug, and he said to me, "Daddy, this is the best day of my life."
Now, see, that makes me cry, because we took Madison to family day at the Browns this year during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
They usually invite the Buffalo Bills or the Jets in or somebody for a scrimmage.
Yeah.
and it's like $5 to get in, and you know, there's all kinds of family events and stuff. And she had a ball, and she said the same thing to me, and I was like, "Oh, that's, you know,
yeah,
you
know exactly,
up.
Yeah, you know exactly where I'm coming from when I say that." But you know, like he's been to Calgary Flames games, he's been to Calgary Hitmen hockey games, he's been to the Calgary Stampeders football games. You know, he goes with his grandma, he does things with his mother, but for him to before anything even started. Just to wrap his arms around my neck, give me a great big squeeze, and tell him that this is the best day of his life. You know, just all because the two of us were at a hockey game together, you know? And that was sort of our early little birthday thing because, well, and this is the reason why I'm pissed off, is I was not invited to his birthday party today. So that's, you know, all of these memories that I do have are very special, very treasured ones. And, you know, what can I say about that? Let's get away from the mushiness and move on to the rest of this. Mace, you were about to say something?
No, if you're going to move on. Like, I can relate to you guys, but not in the same sense. Like, you and Spug are proud papas, but I've got a 7-year-old little brother. Most mm-hmm. people think he's my son. But he does the same type of thing, you know. He went up to our mother the other day. He said, "I'm going to save up $100 so I can go to the toy store and buy 2 Devastator Transformers, one for me and one for Carl because he collects them."
Okay, yeah. No, I can understand that completely. Absolutely.
Definitely. You're making me lament the fact I have absolutely no connection with my 3 youngest siblings.
Well, you know what, Will? Will be your siblings from a distance. How's that sound?
Then I'm the youngest.
Well, no, anyway. I've never had an alcoholic brother in my life.
That'd be cool.
Anyway,
crash on my couch anytime with a, you know, 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, I've got 3 brothers. They're all alcoholics. Omega, you're not missing out on anything. We do have a caller on the line. Caller, thanks for being patient. Thanks for waiting. Who is this? Where are you calling from? And what's on your mind?
Hey, Tim, it's me, Miss Destiny. I heard your little son has a birthday today.
Yeah, he's 10 years old today.
Is it okay if I can give him a birthday present?
What's his Sure.
I would like to sing him happy birthday if it's all right with you.
Oh boy.
Hang
on just a quick sec. Guys, everybody get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Okay, what? I think they're all ready. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Calgary Jr. Happy birthday to you. Now I want to eat a piece of chocolate cake for me, okay?
There you go. Yeah, he actually got a chocolate cake. It was a basketball cake. Chocolate with cherries in the middle, but it wasn't really a Black Forest cake. He made that clear to me when I talked to him on the phone. Lisa, thank you very much. That was a wonderful gesture and very, very much appreciated. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And if your birthday is on a Sunday, I will do the same thing for you anytime.
Okay, I'll definitely remember that, and we'll have our people call your people and get it arranged.
And my birthday is technically on a Thursday, so is there any way I can get a special shout-out even before June 10th or the Thursday after or the Sunday after?
It is April, so you might have to wait till, you know, June.
Yeah.
We'll mark it up. Yeah, we'll mark it on the WTR calendar, and remember for the week of June 10th, and we'll definitely remember you.
Yeah, I don't mind telling my true age. I'm going to be 27.
Oh, my God, you're getting to be an old hag.
Hey, Washington.
I'm kidding!
The Lightning beat the Calgary Flames to win the Stanley Cup.
Okay, you know what? 2004 called. They're tired of that joke, too. Thanks for calling, Lisa.
Anyway, just kidding. I got a sense of humor. Right, see you later, right. Tim.
You take care, sweetheart. All right. Hey, everybody, there it was. A phone call from Miss Destiny, also known as Lisa Nicole Maybaum. Yeah, singing happy birthday. That was fun. Yes, Mace, behave. For now.
It is safe.
Ah! All right, moving on really quickly, really, really quickly. Let's take a really quick look at the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view coming up. Starting off with the X Division Championship match, we've got the champion Douglas Williams versus Kazarian and Shannon Moore. Spug, how do you see this one going?
You know, I will say this, and it may shock y'all, but I actually watched all of Impact on Monday night.
I'm shocked.
Holy shit!
My heart just stopped beating.
Hold on. Spug, the question is, did you remember any of it?
I did. And I tell you what.
He's got you beat, Will.
The promo that Shannon Moore cut, I actually like the Shannon Moore character for some odd reason. There's
Chapter 13 of the Book of Dillygaff.
I actually like the gimmick that he's doing now, so...
I just have one question concerning Shannon Moore. I asked it a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to ask it again tonight. Has anybody Googled Dillygaff lately? Anyway, who's going to win this match in your opinion, Spug?
Moore, and do I look like I give a fuck?
Dillygaff. All right, Mace. Who do you see coming out the champion?
I'm going to agree with Spug and say the Book of Dillygaff will provide him with the truth and the answers to get the X Division title, because unfortunately they're going to bury Kaz.
Interesting. All right, Omega.
See, I really don't see that at this point. I don't know. They've been pushing Doug Williams here.
Yeah.
Douglas Williams as this new style of X Division wrestler, and it's just really gotten a lot of hate and heat from the crowd. And, you know, it's Shannon Moore. You know, okay, he's good for a spot or two, but, you know, I wouldn't ever see him booked in anything serious. And it just seems like Doug's character needs it more than his at the moment.
Okay. Will.
I'm going to say Doug Williams. The storyline they have right now with the X Division is the best way, besides just going, here's a bunch of guys going flippy and spinny, to get people interested in the X Division. You've got Doug Williams, the old school catch-as-catch-can wrestler, saying, we don't need that flippy spinny shit. And you've got him as the heel. You then get guys like Kaz, Moore, good X Division wrestlers going out there, showing off the X Division style against this guy, and building a story where the fans want, just not, oh well, he's boring, boo, but, you know, actually get heat behind this guy to the point where they want this guy so badly to lose the belt, because they want the champion to be the guy who does the flippy spinny.
Okay, well, I'm gonna buck trends and I'm gonna try to, I'm going to try to read TNA Booking's minds, and I'm going to say Kaz takes the title.
You just tried
explain
to read something
your logic,
that doesn't
sir.
Exist.
Okay, you want me to explain my logic? It's quite simple. We're talking TNA, and I still have yet to see any straight
logic.
Run of logic. Kaz's return as Kaz was a bit of a big build-up. He was highlighted with the X Division featurette with the ladders before the pay-per-view, and then really nothing yet. So I'm thinking that, okay, well, we really did a major return, and then we let him go, so we're going to give him the belt and let him run for a couple of months. This is me trying to think like TNA.
Haven't they bit him in his ass every time he's won a contender ship match?
Practically, well, mostly.
He won the contendership match at Destination X, and now he's in a three-way again?
Mm-hmm.
They really don't seem to be... For a guy they took out of the mask because they're like, oh man, he's got the look, they're really not doing much with him.
I think they took him out of the mask because no one remembers that they made a video game anymore.
I saw that in the clearance bin for like $9 the other day. It's tempting to buy it again.
Yeah, I think Walmart moved all their copies to the coaster section. Got a much better chance of selling.
There you go. So there's our look at the X Division Championship. Next up, cage match, Mr. Anderson taking on your Olympic champion, Kurt Angle. Will.
If Angle is really planning on taking some time off, then the logical thing is for Anderson to go over. But with it being TNA, what will probably happen is Angle will win, Anderson will whack him with a chair, and I'm not going to continue the joke I was going for.
Interesting. Did you just decide halfway through the...
What? You cut out.
I said, did you decide halfway through setting up the joke that it wasn't funny, or did you forget the joke?
No, I decided it was tasteless.
Oh. Well...
That stopped any of us.
Thanks for stealing my thunder there, Omega. I said, when has that ever stopped any of us? Remember the song that we ended the show with last week?
Oh.
Either way, I'm saying Anderson will look strong coming out of this match because either Kurt will go on break or he'll just outright lose, so...
Okay. One quick question, everybody. Is it too soon for Canyon jokes?
Let's do it.
You want Lance Storm pissed off at us?
Like he wouldn't be already?
Are you going to make the joke you told Drac when you found out?
Chat room, is it too early for tasteless Canyon jokes, yes or no? These guys are kind of on the fence. Will knows what the joke is. You know, should we wait one more week?
I wasn't even going to make a joke that referenced Eddie and Umaga. I think you know where I'm going to stand on that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm a tasteless prick. What can I say?
Then again, I have a friend that makes Von Erich and Owen jokes, so...
Oh, well, that's not good.
Hey, come on, I already made the tasteless joke of the day.
All right, I won't steal your thunder. I'll tell you what, I'll wait until next week before I... I just don't want anybody else to say it before I do. That's all.
I'm sure that joke hasn't been used a dozen times already.
Oh, I'm sure it has, but not on this show.
I think Tim just wants to get out of the way now.
So there you go. Okay, Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson, Omega.
You know what? In all logic, Anderson should win this one just to give Angle an excuse to be out and recuperate that horribly botched spot from the last event. However, this is TNA we're talking about, and because of the whole, you know, these medals are a symbol, you know, and the whole, like, patriot theme and Anderson doesn't give a shit about the troops kind of mentality they've been doing with this Angle. I'm going to give Angle the win here, and yeah, but there's gonna be something dirty after the bell.
Okay, Mace.
Hold on to your hats, people. I am actually going to approve the winning of Mr. Anderson.
Oh my God.
Is it bad that I've actually sided more with Anderson's part of this Angle than Angle's part of this Angle?
I think Mace...
Angle's
Angle? Mace means is he... I think Mace wants Anderson to win by diving headfirst out of the cage. That's what I'm assuming.
Without putting his arms up!
That would be bonus, but
what makes
just the way
see?
The way this Will shut the fuck up.
I was waiting. Go.
The way the booking has been going, it just looks like they're going to.
We just lost Mace. Okay, who hung up on? All right. Who hung up on? Well, that wasn't nice, hanging up on Mace in the middle of trying to make his point. What the fuck? God damn it, you bloody redneck.
Damn.
What the hell are you trying to do?
At least I didn't play O-Radio.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know that's going to be next, right? Okay, you know what? You're not allowed near the producer's board anymore after this. If you're just gonna, you're gonna hang up on people because they tell you to shut the fuck up and threaten to play O Radio. Forget it. I can't believe you hung up on Mace. Okay, are you happy now? Do you feel that you got your revenge because Mace told you to shut the fuck up?
The only image I have in my head now is me with that Shawn Michaels grin when he gets into the production truck, goes, "Ooh, what's this button do?"
Okay, that's it. Mace, or Will, shut the fuck up. Mace, are you back yet?
Yes, I'm back.
Finish your point before Will hangs up on you again.
Yeah, it's just the way the booking has been slanted over the last few weeks has been very Anderson heavy. It looks like that, especially with Angle looking like he's going to take some time off soon, it's all pointing to Anderson. Believe me, if it was any other, you know, pay-per-view part of the feud, for Angle, and I hope Angle breaks Mr. Anderson's freaking neck. But with the way the booking is going, it's looking like Mr. Anderson is going to win, so I am actually going to go for Mr. Anderson.
The way...
Because he's an asshole!
With an Anderson by unprotected floor shot.
Yeah, the way... the way Mace wants Anderson to win... is that Anderson's going to be hanging out of the cage by 1 foot, Angle holding on, and he's just going to go, wait, oops, and drop him.
See ya, Kurt. There you go. Hey, Spug!
Yes?
Who's going to win and why?
Kurt Angle's supposed to be taking some time off after this, and
yeah.
I really think they're trying to push the Anderson character and make him actually championship worthy. So what better way than to beat a former TNA champion in Kurt Angle?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Multiple time TNA champion, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he's won more than a couple. So you're picking Mr. Anderson just like the recently hung up on Mace.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
wait, Will, that wasn't nice of you to hang up on Mace like that.
Shouldn't well, let me near the producer's board when I'm drunk.
I told you. Anyway, originally I was going to say Anderson was going to win this one and injure Kurt and like legitimately injure him, but give him an excuse to take some some time off, like and like literally give him another excuse to take some more time off. But thinking about it, no. Kurt is the big cheese. Sure, Anderson's the up-and-comer, but you want to make him the heel. So what do? Well, you book it so Kurt wins, but he gets the shit kicked out of him afterwards and gets injured to get put out on the shelf for a couple of months, which unfortunately will legitimately wind up happening. He's going to seriously injure Angle, maybe break his ankle. And bada-bing, bada-boom, 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 boom. Anderson, you're loser. Anderson, you're sore loser. Anderson with some stiff chair shots to the head of Kurt Angle, which winds up breaking Kurt Angle's ankle because they both slip because Anderson's a clumsy ass, misses, and hits Angle's ankle with the corner of a steel chair.
Here I had an image of Anderson managing to botch an STO.
Hey, it's Ken Anderson. He could botch brushing his fucking teeth. All right, so have we all picked? Yes, we have. I do believe so. So, yeah, I'm going to say Anderson's the sore loser with Kurt Angle suffering legit as well as a storyline fucking fracture or injury or something like that. Yeah. So, the next one up is the Lethal Lockdown, which sees Team Hogan captained by Abyss with Jarrett, RVD, and Jeff Hardy, versus Team Flair, captained by Sting, with Beer Money and Desmond Wolfe. Will.
Am I the only one that's seen a slow formation of the TNA version of the Four Horsemen?
No.
Okay, just figured I'd throw that out there.
Okay, so...
Really? I'm...
Really?
Not really sure who I'd actually pick for this.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, there's always the feel-good moment of, oh, look, we won, we're the Hogan team. Mm-hmm. But I actually think the story would be better is if they cemented some sort of faction, because Wolf's already been helping Flair and Angle or AJ out. You know, you throw in Beer Money, you know, put them over, you've got a solid faction right there. So I'm going to say Team Flair.
All right, Spug.
Am I also the only one? Well, I see it too, Will, because Sting used to be a member of the Four Horsemen a long time ago. But two, am I the only one that thinks that Ric Flair's promo skills are slipping just a little bit? It was like a record on repeat the other night.
Well, yeah. You know, think about it. He's been in the business long enough. There ain't much new for him to say, right?
No, but he can still say it. And Jesus
Without
Christ.
Without repeating it.
How many times did he repeat Sting? He's like, Sting! Sing! 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 Woo! Sing! Sing!
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Is it just me, or does he not know how to incorporate the letter T in Sting's name? I felt
like
that.
But it was pretty bad. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I idolized this man, and he's a full-fledged retard now.
It's even better that now he's in a wheelchair trying to cut promos.
Exactly. Perhaps he doesn't get enough oxygen to the brain while sitting in that wheelchair. I'm not sure.
There you go. There you go. May Spike, pick the winner.
I'm going to go with Team Flair 2.
Team Flair. Okie dokie. So we got two for Flair's team. Mace, before Will hangs up on you again.
Team Hogan. Don't know why, just Team Hogan, because it's Team Hogan, and Hogan needs to win the pay-per-view.
Brother,
there
brother,
you
brother.
Go.
Brother, brother, brother.
Brother, 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 brother. Omega!
You know something, Toaster?
Hang on. Go ahead.
No. Let's see here. I'm still trying to get over this whole idea of, you know, why... So, someone remind me, why is Flair such a big figure in TNA? Because he just kind of shows up where, you know, Hogan actually runs the place, even in character.
Because he can still put terrible images of him making love to Dixie Carter in our head.
Ew!
Because they need somebody to fill their handicap quotient?
Yeah. Yes, we are friend. Yeah, we are handy capable here in TNA.
Yeah. Well, hey, they did have a one-legged wrestler at one point in time.
Yeah, they gave him wins than WWE did in 6 months.
Maybe it's to show their senior citizen benefits.
They have a great pension plan.
So, who's your winner?
I'm giving it to Team Hogan because right now, I don't know why Abyss is running this when you've got Jeff Jarrett, Jeff Hardy, and Rob Van Dam on the team.
Why, Sting? Why?
But you got Jeff Jarrett, who's just sporadic in ring. He's always making a return, and Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam that just got into the company again. So. Yeah, the team, as much as it shouldn't, actually does need the win.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, here, it's my turn. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
No!
Okay.
No, hold on. Let me hang up.
No. I heard yes before no, so hang on. Team Hogan wins because Hogan never jobs at a pay-per-view. with the one exception to the Warrior, and he didn't want to do that. So Team Hogan wins, but there's a beatdown afterwards, which will help solidify Flair's reformation of the new Four Horsemen, which will not be called the Horsemen. It'll be called something similar.
The Stable Boys.
The guys will just, you know, they're that creative. So there you go, Team Hogan. That's my pick. Now, the next... what's that?
Flair's Med Team.
Flair's Med Team. There you go. So, yeah, the stable called the stable. There you go. Good one, Omega.
Well, it's so, the horse theme.
Yeah, it does. It does. I was thinking, you know, I was actually thinking road apples.
You know, Chavo Guerrero needs to come over to TNA and join the new horsemen and bring back Pepe.
Yes.
I was thinking Kerwin White, but okay.
Bullshit, we all pop for Pepe.
Dude, it's Pepe! How can you not pop for Pepe?
Also, yeah. Bischoff Hogan have done the impossible. They've made Jeff Jarrett look like someone you can sympathize with. That's something Jarrett couldn't do the entire time he was in TNA, even when he was going for a face run.
Well, not to be a prick and an asshole and stuff like that, yeah, but even the death of his wife didn't really help propel Jarrett to the top of the mountain there, did he?
No.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, the next one here that we've got listed so far, AJ Styles versus the Pope, who is pimping for the TNA World Championship. Mace?
I would so love to say that Pope's going to win and money is going to rain from the sky and then Orlando Jordan's going to come out and squirt himself with whatever the fuck that was all over again.
Oh, that was fucked up.
Jeez.
But I'm going to go for the safe bet and go with AJ Styles.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with AJ Styles, too, because I got to keep the championship around his waist because of what actually started the first live show on Monday. Not the January 4th show, but the first Monday that they, started going on Mondays live every other week. So AJ Styles retains. Spug!
Oh, I'm gonna go
with Pizza Face.
With the Pope.
The Pope. Okay. Why?
Because.
He's pimping?
He's pimping.
All right, there you go. Omega!
AJ. You know,
why?
I'm a fan of the Pope.
He's
I'm a fan of the Pope. I like his ring work. I like the character. I think it's a little too early for him, however.
All righty then, Will.
At lockdown, Pope won't be pipping. He'll be limping.
Oh, who wrote that line?
I'm not.
Did you call Russo on your telephone, put us on mute, and call Russo? Say, I need something, man! Or did you say, hey, yo? I'm just, you know, wondering.
Without the retarded rhymes, they're probably going to play up the ankle injury they've kind of played up ever since Pope was announced as the number one contender. And if they're really going for a Four Horsemen kind of thing, it'd be kind of a bad idea to have your world champion, who would be part of the Four Horsemen, lose and not be champion. I mean, that's Russo booking away.
Yeah, exactly. That was rather awkward. Anyway, okay, so there it is, our look at lockdown to this point with all the matches that are ready to go.
When's the pay-per-view?
To be determined. It's in a couple weeks.
So 2 weeks?
No, it's on Sunday.
Really? And they only have half a card?
Yep.
God, they're pulling the WWE. They're going to book it on the fly.
No.
Well, here's the thing.
They've been doing this for months.
They've been doing this for years. TNA has a hard time getting anything set up. They should have their pay-per-views all ready to go like 2 weeks before going into the pay-per-view, so they can actually further the storyline instead of, you know, it just feels like it's hot-shotted to me, guys.
Like I said, they're pulling a WWE. They're going to book half a pay-per-view on the fly.
I don't like going into a pay-per-view with a week left and only having half a card booked.
Well, you'll find out tomorrow night when TNA airs right after their brand new TNA program called Reaction on Spike TV.
What, they're going to put the camera on the crowd and just watch them going, oh, God, this is shit.
No, they'll put it on the cast members who chant TNA for everything, including the janitor cleaning up afterwards.
Hey, come on, that janitor is pretty epic.
TNA.
They'll show the script rehearsals where they get all the chants out of the way.
Yeah, there you go. No, the TNA Reaction is supposed to be like a behind-the-scenes look with extended interviews and stuff like that, sort of a cross between Heat and Velocity.
Well, we saw how well those programs worked out.
Oh, yeah. Too Great Taste does not come to mind here.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like a WWE Confidential, really.
Didn't they have those type of segments during Impact at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah, they found out people were tuning out, so they decided to, oh, I know what, let's make it its own show. Might work that way. You know.
What happened to the old knockout show that we were promised? I want that show.
I don't know. I want to find out why Epix is only on once a month.
I want to know why we don't get to see Angelina Love lose a contest that sees her having to do a strip tease.
I want to know why Daphne didn't get the title like she deserved.
I want to know why you are so obsessed with fucking that zombie.
That zombie is hot, Tim.
That's why they call her Zombie Hot. There you go.
Exactly. I agree with Will.
Well, actually, Daphne, with all that retarded makeup, is pretty fucking hot. Hey, I've seen her naked. She's worth it. Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell anybody that...
Now you had to fork up evidence.
That was, no, that exactly. Was the court, no, the court order was for me to keep my mouth shut.
Which means he had a spy hole drilled somewhere.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, there you go. So, that being said, it's time for the final segment of the night, WTR's Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
Alright, and here we go, WTR's Quick Hits. If you might be the one or two people left listening who don't know what the fuck we're doing with Quick Hits, two simple questions for each panel member, and they normally get 60 seconds to answer. And one question is generally a legit wrestling-related question. The other question can sometimes be an extremely outrageous, stupid, and ridiculous, retarded question. If you got a Quick Hits question idea that you want us to ask any of the guys, send it to admin@wildtalkradio.com. We will fix it in there somehow. That being said...
Please direct all TNA questions to Mace.
Yeah, there you go. Just to piss him off. Yeah, okay. So, here we go. Quick kick number one goes to Omega. Omega, rumors are pointing to Tommy Dreamer signing with TNA. Now, what do you think Tommy Dreamer's impact, pardon the pun, on TNA will be? Or would be?
Well, to be honest, and I hate to say this because I love Tommy, I love his work ethic, his love for the business, I loved him in ECW, but I really don't see him getting much attention if he were in TNA. You know, he might be around for a couple months, but I mean, just like Sean Morley, or formerly Val Venus, or even Rhino, who's been on the roster forever, and you wouldn't know it by how little you've seen him, I would say they give him a couple months worth of screen time and then completely forget he's even on the payroll.
That's because they're stupid and they forget, hey, let's put him in a feud with Raven.
Yay, there you go.
Yeah, we got Rhino, Raven, and Tommy Dreamer.
And RVD.
Where is... And the Dudleys.
Time to bring back the grievous bodily harm division.
Interesting. All right, so there you go. Now, the next question goes to Spog. What's your favorite gimmick match to participate in?
Texas bull rope matches or chain matches, because they're essentially the same thing.
Okay, so there's nothing like a little spice, you know, a difference to add a little spice in your life, eh?
You love
variety. Variety being the spice of life.
Yep, and we actually do ours than your traditional Texas bull rope where you have to touch four corners.
Yep.
Ours is by pin or submission only, so it makes it really interesting.
Okay, well, that's definitely something that we'd have to try to check out at some point in time. Mace!
What?
What is one piece of advice you could give a Hulk Hogan as he prepares to start his own weekly radio show on the Howard Stern Network?
Oh, God.
One piece of advice for Hulk Hogan.
Yep. Just one. Brother.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. It's something to do brothers. Brothers, brothers. We brother, brothers. No more brother, brothers. Brother.
So don't say brother so often. What about don't host a show with Nick?
Oh,
nah. No, because we all know he hosts it with Bubba Love Sponge.
Oh, BLTS. Ew! Anyway, okay, so stop saying brother so fucking much. There you go. Who have I not asked yet?
Will.
That's right, Will. Kevin Nash recently stated he doesn't like the name The Band. What would you name the trio?
Quick, stop the question. Give it to somebody else. Will actually wants this one.
Yeah. I was actually hoping this would be brought up. The problem is, I don't think there is a name you could really give these three. I seen one good comment on the article I read this on. They said, let's call them Wasted Opportunity.
I like it.
Okay, that was good. I like that one.
If you think about it, Scott Hall is a guy who could have been a multi-time world champion. And X-Pac had enough pull backstage that he could have been a part of the Cruiserweight Revolution, and he was no part of it. I don't think there is any fitting name, and I would give credit to the person whose name I don't even bother remembering who said it where I read it.
Okie dokie, yeah. Saturday Night Live, they call their guys not ready for primetime players. I would think past the prime players would be a good name. Anybody? Anybody? No?
I think
okay. It's a little wordy.
Yeah. Past the prime players. There you go. Okay, so, round two of the quick hits. Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm. No.
We're going to start with Will tonight.
Uh-oh.
No, actually, I'm sorry. We're going to start with Spug.
Okay.
Spug, Wrestlelicious... Okay, this is a hypothetical. Wrestlelicious has decided to go softcore with the programming. Now... book a gimmick match for the first episode on the Playboy channel.
Double-headed dildo on a pole match. To win, you must retrieve the double-headed dildo and get your opponent to orgasm.
Okay, explain to me why you didn't take any time to think that up at all.
Because it's Tim and you... or because it's Spug and you referenced him earlier as the Porn King?
That's only because he...
Porn King?
Well, I think maybe his wife may have usurped him as the porn queen. You know, he got rid of his porn collection, but she still has hers. So, anyway, there you go.
Usurp me. She is now the porn queen. And,
yeah.
And, what? No, it's fucking Wrestlelicious. They're softcore porn anyway. I'm finally glad they realized it, though.
Okay.
I want to say all of us at the Wild Talk Radio Network kind of helped push them along that path.
Or at least we like to think so. All right, now it's your turn, Will.
I actually have evidence to the contrary on that one.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a quick sec, Spug.
Yeah.
Or Will. Or Mace. What the fuck, you guys? Stop it. Oh, my God. All right, so I was going to ask, Will his question next, and I'm thinking, do I want to ask it now, or do I want to just skip him and go to Mace and then Will?
Does it matter, or is there a punchline?
Yeah, there's a bit of a reason for it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Mace directly, then Will, you're right after Mace. So Mace.
Yes.
Cut a promo on Ken Anderson as if you're about to wrestle him.
Oh, fuck, I'm out of here. I don't want to die.
I don't know if we should accept that. That was the cheap way out, man. I don't know. Should we accept that one?
Fuck you. It's acceptable. It's funny. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, all right. No, judges say we can accept that one, you lazy bastard. All right, we'll accept it. Now we'll ask Will. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
Okay, Will, Spug is booking some kind of orgy-type match for Wrestlelicious Playboy Channel debut episode, and he asks you to be in it, yes or no?
Who are the women in it?
Let me put it to you this way, Will. You might get lucky and get Daphne.
They're all women. Put it that way.
Okay, but if one of them is Lacey Von Erich, she'll probably claw my balls, and I'll regret it for the rest of my life.
And a hole in the scrotum, so what?
You get... I'll explain this quickly for Will. You've got Madison Rain, Daphne, Mercedes Martinez, Lorelei Lee. Basically a whole heap of top-level independent talent. Also including Serena Deeb, the one we know in the Straight Edge Society at the moment.
Sure, I'll be their whipping boy.
There you go. All right. Not only is he going to be hanging out with, what's the guy's name?
Johnny C.
No. We're talking about what Will's going to do in May.
Tracy
Will, Smothers?
You answer this one.
Tracy Smothers. Not only is he going to hang out with Tracy Smothers to find out if he can actually become
Stevens.
And Chase Stevens to find out if he can get into professional wrestling. He's also attempting a new career as an amateur porn star. That's our own Will. So who's next? Who's last?
Omega.
I think it's me.
Omega, just for the sake of argument, if you swung that way, would Orlando Jordan spritzing that cream on himself like he did last Monday night do it for you?
Can I shoot myself now?
No.
That might be less painful.
Insert
yourself
Canyon
in the
joke
base
here.
With Orlando Jordan's load.
You know what? No. Not in the least.
Okay. For the sake of argument, we're just saying that you did swing that way. What would do it for you?
I hate these goddamn people.
Send all hate mail for this question to admin@wildtalkradio.com. This was Tim Stein's question. Thank you very much.
Great. I get 10 emails each from both Will and Omega. One of them hates it. You figure it out.
Okay. You know what Orlando Jordan could do to really get me going?
What?
Stand in an unemployment line and never show up on my TV again.
There you go. Orlando Jordan playing the Invisible Man will give you a Woody. That's all you had to say. All right, we've been on the air way too fucking long. Do we have anything to plug?
Your mouth.
Okay, did your female friend there feed you that line?
No,
I think she did.
No, that was all me.
How was your pork chops, Will?
They were delicious.
How was your mac and cheese with bacon?
Oh, that was even better. Bacon tastes good with fucking anything.
How is the artery hardening coming along?
I think I feel my left ventricle closing up.
Okay, well, if your left hand goes numb and you got this funny feeling in your chest...
Sleep it off, sure. I'll be fine in the morning.
Just sleep it off, you'll be fine. Take a couple of Advils, you know.
I'll take the Ken Anderson route for it.
Yeah. If it starts to ache up into your jaw, just hop on a treadmill and work it off.
Yeah, good idea. There you go. All right, so hey, that's it, Rust Talk Radio for this Sunday. Next week, yeah, it's TNA Lockdown, so we'll be on right after the pay-per-view. We'll break it down. I can't say the words "break it down" without hearing the DX theme play in the back of my head. I don't know what it is. I just can't do it. All right, so final...
Vince's brainwashing is working.
That's right. Final thoughts, Mace.
Not much going on in wrestling. I'm going to be off the internet until OTL in a couple of days. But I will mention that my recent article about Wrestlicious as a part of From the Mind of Mace, available here on WildTalkRadio.com. As I have mentioned before, Little Egypt, former Glow Girl, has been reading some of what I've written, and I included this time around a top 10 sort of tips on how to fix Wrestlicious. She has done a little favor and has decided to pass this along to the producers and the writers for Wrestlicious. So who knows, I might actually have a hand in getting that product to a somewhat watchable state.
Well, if that happens, make sure that you get at least a credit for it, because if you go uncredited, then you can't sue for royalties.
Mace, it's real simple. Tell them, Daphne doing everything.
I would, but then I actually saw her character in action, and yeah, I don't want her doing everything on that show.
I've not watched it at all, so I really can't comment.
Yeah, Daphne doing a strip tease, and we'll be happy. Final final thoughts, Spug.
Buy a shirt, I'm going to fuck my wife and go to work in the morning, and oh yeah, Nick Anthony, stop being a pussy and accept my challenge.
See, I told you at the beginning of the show, fuck my wife would, in some form or another, come out of Spug's mouth tonight, and it did. Final thoughts, Omega.
ROH just debuted a new world championship belt featuring a big gold winged eagle. Hey, WWE, take a fucking hint.
Really? Ooh, I want to see this.
Nice. Final thoughts, Will.
Hey, Mace, does this sound like me hanging up on you?
Stop it, Will! God damn it! All right, final thoughts from yours truly. Guys, don't forget Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, OWW Radio. You want to check them out. Another great live interview with Alan Wojcik taking the helm with Aaron Kendrick. Bad news for all you Nick Anthony fans. He won't be available, but that's all right. We got the Dark City Fight Club on the show live again this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. And, of course, 11 o'clock Eastern right after OWW Radio. We have Otaku Talk Live. Geek speak, as it were. Everything geek. They even get into geek porn, believe it or not. I don't know.
Everything will become porn.
There you go. I don't know. Geek porn, I think what happens is they show an episode of TJTV where he takes his Transformers and puts them in unnatural sexual positions.
Hey, there's no Transformers on TJTV. It's all bad cartoons and me mocking them just for the hell of it, I guess.
There you go. And where can we find TJTV? Isn't that on YouTube?
No, it's tjomega.blogspot.com. They'll post these episodes on YouTube because golf bits kind of illegal.
There you go. So
not really. They think everything is.
Well, of course, because they can make money or lose money. So what's the where's TJTV again? One more time.
tjomega.blogspot.com.
And so check out TJTV if you're, you know, into that weird, freaky shit that Omega gets into with his Transformers while he watches stupid cartoons.
Hey.
There you are. Yeah. And, of course, a lot more great
more entertaining than anything you've made, Tim.
Thank you very much, bitch. I think that it's time to hang up on you again. And this time, I'll do it. All right. There. He's gone. All right. So, everybody, hey, you know, final thoughts. Check out all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You got a show idea, email admin@wildtalkradio.com. And, hey, you might be an interweb star. Wouldn't that be fun? Tony O, need not apply. That being said,
it's a failed experiment. Quit trying.
There you go. As we get ready to get the hell out of here tonight, I'm thinking I'm going to open up a photo gallery and put up all of these women up there. We're gonna call them WILFs. WILF, which is quite simple. You've heard of MILF. You've heard of GILF. What's a WILF?
Wills I'd like to fuck.
Simply women I'd like to fuck. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Okay, that being said, all of the nasty bad words and everything out of the way. Sincerely,
fuck.
If I believed in God, I would say thank you very much for my son, Owen, who's 10 years old today. Owen, I love you to pieces. You are my inspiration. You're my entire world. Happy birthday, son. That being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.